It's the Brian Duder Show podcast featuring Cody Goff. Every week we do a podcast because sports blows us off the schedule. We're relegated to the internet, but that doesn't bother us because we're talking into a microphone and hopefully you're listening. And that's why we call it a podcast.
And many more.
Hello and welcome. Good evening. Thank you for joining us. It is the Brian Duder Show podcast featuring Cody Goff. And yes, we have taken a different tone. I told you I'm reinventing myself.
You went full NPR right there.
I did. Listen, you got to know your market. Mm. And so we're going to, starting now, we are going to reinvent ourselves.
Oh.
Yes, because entertainment and personality just isn't enough anymore.
Do I have to?
Edutainment isn't enough anymore.
Do I have to do this too then?
No, you can be, you choose your persona. I've decided to reinvent myself this way as a thoughtful, issue-oriented host. I am going to talk about nothing but heavy issues. And at that point, perhaps the last sound you'll hear on the podcast is a gunshot.
Mm.
And then a thump as my big body hits the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor. Yeah, I can't do that. I know people want, I know the conventional thinking is, you guys need to talk about more issues. You need to be a little more, we need some more hard hitting political stances. We need some takes. We need to know where you're at. Well, if you listen to the show, you know where we stand on pretty much anything we talk about because we have opinions on everything.
Yeah. I don't know. Some people, well, if we talk about that thing.
Well, if we talk about politics, we try to see both sides. We try to be fair and balanced, unlike networks that actually say they're fair and balanced. We don't proclaim to be fair and balanced. We just endeavor to be fair and balanced. But you also know if we don't like things. Like, I don't know. For example, I don't like when a president says, well, I try to be honest when I can be. All right. Well, how about all the time?
What I'm trying to say is I think that people know where you stand on things, but I'm this weird, contradictory.
Well, sure, because you come up with, like, one week you'll have some stance, and it'll be way out there, and then you'll come back the next week and kind of contradict it. And, you know, we know you love Bernie. We know that.
Yeah.
That's public record.
Yeah.
You've talked about it. Nothing wrong with that. That's your thing.
Yeah.
We know that you hate women. That is so not true. But that's going to be the only thing.
I actually love women more than I should.
Good morning. HR's on the phone.
But mostly my wife.
Yes, of course.
My lovely wife.
Yes, happy anniversary once again.
Thank you.
And happy, a year and a week.
And happy, it has been, not that you've been counting. Hey, your first wedding
right.
ceremony you performed resulted in us still being
so
married.
So far. And I'm, again, I am still, I think my credentials are still up to date, so I'm ready to go.
Good.
But
well, what are we talking about on today's podcast?
Well, let's start with Tuesday is a huge day. Tuesday is Election Day. And this will, you know, this is dropping before Election Day. So, one, like everybody else, I am sick and tired of seeing all these ads. I can't take any more negative political ads. If these ads are to be believed, everyone running for office is the bane of our existence. No one running for office will do any good for the government, the people, dogs, cats, vermin, they won't do good for anyone except themselves. And perhaps if you're watching Illinois ads, Mike Madigan. Those are the only people who will benefit from any of these politicians being elected. Because they'll tell you how great they are, but only for a second, because they've spent the last 58 seconds telling you how crummy the other person was. This other candidate stinks on ice. They've done everything. They actually, they married cows. They, you know, they backed people stabbing each other in the eye. It's getting crazy.
You know what's really crazy? We're recording this on Thursday, November 1st.
Correct.
I legitimately have not seen a single political advertisement.
Do you not watch television?
No.
Oh, that's why you haven't.
No, but think about, and I know you, maybe you're listening at home and you're like, oh, well, that Cody, he doesn't care.
He's out
he
of touch.
He doesn't pay attention. Dude, do you know how many people my age and younger don't have television?
Yeah, it's all streaming stuff. Well, people don't, for a number of reasons. One is cost. They don't want to pay for, because cable costs and satellite costs are ridiculous.
Yeah.
And they go up every month. And they go, and then you have to, it's a whole dance with these companies. We have DirecTV, and I've been a DirecTV customer for probably 14, 15 years. And I have to go through this dance all the time where they raise my rate and then we call and we threaten to cancel. And they go, hang on. And then they transfer us to the Department of the Retention Department. And the Retention Department will go, well, how about this? For the next 6 months, we'll drop your rate by $40 and we'll give you 3 extra channels. Okay, fine. You got me for another 6 months. Well, then 6 months comes, up go the rates, higher than they were when we threatened to cancel the first time. So now we got to call and threaten to cancel again. And it, you know, we're offering new subscribers free for a year. Hey, I've been a subscriber for 15 years. How about a little something for the effort? No, no, that's just for new subscribers. Well, how about you go screw yourself and then I'll go with somebody else. Hold on, let us transfer you to retention. And then it all starts and it goes around and around and around again. But I know, like, Molly now in New York does the streaming services, but she got basic cable because of some of the jobs that she's applying for. She needs to watch them, and some of the clients that the agency she's working with, so she has to have basic. But if not, she would just, like you said, she'd just unplug, cut the cord, baby, cut the cable.
Out of all my high school friends, the 10 or so that I constantly talk to, maybe 2 have cable, yeah. And that's because their wives want cable. And most of my friends in Chicago don't have cable. The vast majority. Yeah. Like, I could probably count on 2 hands the number of people I know my age or younger. And I know a lot of people.
You're very popular. You're out on the town, doing things, making connections.
I'm just saying, I legitimately think that I don't have, I'm not coming from this like ignorant, you know, hipster kind of point of view. Like,
you're not?
Tons of millennials don't have cable or watch television. I have not seen a single television ad for J.B. Pritzker or Bruce Rauner. I have no idea what their stance is.
No congressmen, no congresspeople, no
I don't know
Senate,
who's,
no nothing, no attorney general.
I don't know who's running for anything. And I'm going to do my research this weekend, mm-hmm. and I'm going to read up on the candidates and the issues on their websites and on third-party election helper websites.
Yeah, I like to go to the people who endorse them and the people who've done a lot of research on them. Because reading a candidate's website, you know,
right.
Hey, I'm the greatest guy in the world. How much hand lotion are you using while you're typing this? It's, you know, because you're so busy patting yourself on the back, I'm surprised you didn't break your arm.
Right. No, I'm going to create a sample ballot, and I'm going to have everything figured out by Tuesday. And
nice.
I'm going to walk in there and know what I'm doing. I mean, I do my research. Like, I'm not
an uninformed voter
or anything. But in terms of the advertising, and they're not touching
social media.
The only social media I've seen are a couple things that I think have been sponsored posts from J.B. Pritzker on Facebook. But that's the only candidate.
He has popped up. Where else has he popped up that I didn't expect to see him?
Instagram?
I've seen it on Instagram. Well, I've seen it Twitter, Instagram, and to a much lesser extent on Facebook. But there was somewhere else where I was watching something. It was on a stream. I was watching something, maybe Netflix.
YouTube, probably.
Maybe YouTube, maybe something, yeah. And it popped up, and I was like, oh,
you know,
that's weird.
I might have seen one Pritzker ad on a YouTube pre-roll, but he's the only one.
Well, he's spending millions and millions and millions of dollars
so
between
Napoleon,
he and
right?
Rauner. They're, yeah. How about you fund, you know, one of these agencies that you're cutting? How about you fund that? You know, how about take that money. Here's the deal. You can both be governor. It's like soccer for kids. You both get a trophy. You can both be governor. Figure that would be true bipartisan effort. You both be governor. You take all that money and you give it to the mental health facilities that you had to close and the veterans facilities that funding got cut. And you give it to, you know, you actually help the people of Illinois. That would be cool
because
you've spent these millions of dollars and they're gone. And one of you is going to have spent all this money in vain. Because you will not win. So all those millions are down the toilet. And I know with taxes, your account, everything's clever. You're going to be okay. You're not hurting because of this money. But all the people who donated to you, well, their money's gone. And you know that when you make that donation. But take that money and do some good with it. And I know I'm probably not the first person to say it, but I'm the first person to say it this loud tonight. It's crazy. I'm so sick of it. I'm sick of the constant negative, because trust me, we all know that everybody stinks. We're not voting for somebody there's some diehards who get behind a candidate and go, this is the person, man. They're the answer. And that's how Sanders got such a groundswell success, because he had true believers behind him.
Yeah.
And they, you know, they bought into his message. And unfortunately, because of chicanery and other things, that message got squashed. But in these elections coming up, one, we're voting for anybody, or a lot of people are voting for anybody who can make a change at the big house in Washington. They want to, you know, we got to get some Democrats in there. We got to change things up. And in Illinois, it's just like, everything stinks. What stinks less? Do I vote for the four-day-old rotted fish or the week-old rotted fish? I'll go 4 days because it doesn't smell quite as horrible. And I don't know what side your rotted fish is on, but really, is there anybody who's going to be the great savior of this state or this city or this country? I don't see it. I don't see anybody on any of these ballots that makes me go, man, oh man, I pray that this person gets in because everything will be better. They're not going to make it better. Bill Hicks had a quote, and I'm paraphrasing it, but we got to stop looking, the great comedian Bill Hicks. You familiar with Bill Hicks?
Yeah.
Hated marketing, which you were in for a while. Oh,
I'm still in marketing, technically.
He hates marketing.
Kind of. Well, who doesn't hate marketing?
He's dead.
What do you mean he hates marketing? I mean, why?
He had a big rant against marketing, but how people in marketing should just kill themselves.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a little far. A lot of marketing is pretty bad.
But his quote about this, and again, I'm paraphrasing, is we got to stop looking to politicians to change, to make big changes. We got to look to teachers and doctors and engineers and scientists and people who are actually in the world and support them. They're going to be the ones who actually work and cause real change in society. It's not going to be these politicians, and that we have to look at each other and we have to try to be better to each other. And that's where the real change is going to come. And that's all very high and mighty, and it's all very, very pie in the sky.
Well, I think it also came before Facebook and Twitter.
Sure.
And before two private organizations owned all of the free speech in the world, basically. Yes. And this is becoming a massive problem.
What about Gab?
What's Gab?
Boy, you really are out of it.
Yeah.
Gab is the site that the alleged bomber was using. It's the last bastion of free speech. It's like a vast right-wing chat room website.
Oh.
And it's, you know, but then since the bombing, they've been shut down.
Which bomber was this?
This was the one who was sending bombs all last week.
That guy. Yeah. The guy who some woman reported him on Twitter for harassing her.
Yes.
Twitter found, he hasn't really done anything wrong.
Right.
So we're not going to do anything to him.
Exactly.
And then he, you know, starts sending bombs to politicians.
Guy tells you he's going to do you bodily harm. Take it seriously. I mean, the woman took it seriously. She reported it. Twitter, they don't care. You know? And then people go, yeah, but they're shutting down Alex Jones and all that. And it's true. You know, Alex Jones is a lunatic. But if you're gonna let a lot of lunatics, you either have to have all the lunatics or none of the lunatics.
I mean, look, one of the fundamental ideas behind the United States of America is freedom. That's our thesis statement, right? Just freedom, right? Like, that's our thing. Now,
we're pretty big on freedom. I'm listening.
I'm going somewhere with
look
this.
Look at you.
No, I'm just saying, like, that's a huge thing, right? Freedom of the press, freedom to say what you want, even if I disagree with it. There's the Voltaire quote. Voltaire, not American, I realize. But I do not agree with a word you say, but I'll defend to your death the right to say it. Okay, great. And in America, up until now, yeah, sometimes on broadcast news, like, you know, the law has said you can't say certain things. There's a couple things you can't say, right?
Right, can't incite violence, you can't call for mob action.
Right. Now, I'm not saying that necessarily has to be how flexible these platforms are, like Facebook and Twitter, but we now live in a world where sometimes 60 to 70 to 80% of what people say are said in a digital medium.
Mm-hmm.
And now those two platforms are owned by private organizations. They get to call the shots and dictate what is appropriate, what is inappropriate. YouTube is now doing the same thing.
Sure.
They're censoring.
It's called terms of service. They're a for-profit company.
There are terms of service, and it's a for-profit company. But once you dominate speech itself that much, and you have that much of an influence, like, decisions are made, mobs are formed on these platforms. Mm-hmm. It's not just a private company. Like, yes, they govern it, and yes, it's running on their servers, but like, if you took a small village and you took a town square where all the conversations are happening, and you locked it in a big cage and said, okay, well, now all the conversations in here are run by the people that own this cage, and they can do whatever they want, that's not good, and... Right. And I don't know what to do about it. And I think that some of the things they've done, like, oh, we're going to ban some Nazis. Okay, that's probably good because the Nazis are bad. Okay, we can agree on that. Okay,
well, can we? There's good people on both sides.
We can pretty much agree on that.
Some of us can.
For the sake of argument, that we can agree on that.
I will concur with you on this. I'll give you this one.
Well, I'm not arguing anything.
No, I understand.
But I guess all I'm trying to say is like... You know, as much as you can look at bad actors on social media and say, oh, well, the platforms need to do something about this. The platforms need to do something about this. Like, we're in a different world now. Like, the old rules do not apply.
Right. But if you, and I agree with you on that, I think, and listen, we're here because of free speech. I'm all for free speech. Free speech does not mean free of responsibility.
Sure.
And I think if you are a for-profit company, you have an obligation to the people who use your platform to oversee it to a certain extent. Just because I make a right-wing or left-wing statement, that should be allowed. If I'm making a political statement, that should be allowed. If I'm threatening someone's safety, that should not be allowed. Because if I make a threat to you on the street, you can be arrested for that. So
yeah,
have no problem with accounts of people who make threats against not only public officials, but private citizens. If you make those kind of threats, you can be tossed out. If you are using anti-Semitic or overt hate speech, the same kind of thing that I could be arrested for on the street, I should be able to be kicked off a social media platform.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you totally. Yeah, I guess the only reason I brought it up is just because I think that some people can... at times oversimplify the role of these companies.
Sure, they're not your mommy and daddy.
Well, but they oversimplify the role in policing. It's like, oh, we'll just do this, oh, we'll just do that. But they're really, really underestimating and undervaluing like how culturally significant these companies are and how much our communication as human beings rely on these platforms.
Right.
And sometimes that means that some bad ideas, like you can't, it becomes a slippery slope when you start to define, you know, what is a bad idea.
Right.
Like, you know, the thing is,
basic things you can define. But,
basic things you, yeah, you
but
know.
Other things, people are going to be offended by all sorts of things.
And that's
We've
the problem.
Said a million things that are offensive.
And that's the problem, I think, is that, like, obviously, we're in full agreement. If anybody's threatened, if anybody is saying, like, something anti-Semitic or like, overtly racist or whatever. But then, like, what about sexism? What if something's perceived as sexist?
Yes.
Where's the intent versus the way that it is received?
How many jokes have we made that people have taken the wrong way?
Oh, my God.
How many things have gotten people all worked up who think they heard something or read something that we didn't even say or write, they interpreted it a certain way. So I know exactly what you're saying, and you're correct.
I forgot that that's happened to us.
There have to be strict guidelines about certain things. And I will go back to, if it can be charged by law enforcement outside of social media in the real world, those are grounds to toss you off a platform.
Yes.
If you're just offended because I made a joke, and this is how sad it. There have been a number of times where I've seen a story or a joke has popped into my head, and I'm a pretty good arbiter of what's a good joke and what's a bad joke, but my taste is also different than a lot of people, as evidenced by what happened before the podcast began out in the lobby with one of our coworkers. But I've now, in this day and age, I'm a little gun shy on certain things just because I don't want the hassle. I'd stand behind something I said because I'm not making a racist joke or or an anti-Semitic joke or anti-gay joke, any of that. But some joke you might, you know, one word can set people off.
Yes.
The whole joke or the whole comment may have one meaning, but they're going to zero in on this one word and then you're gone. And careers are ruined. Lives are ruined. Because of miscommunications, but miscommunication.
Sometimes it is a misunderstanding.
It can be, and it can be a, and the mob mentality on social media, and we've talked about this before, you can incite. I got in. Our friend Elliot Serrano a couple years ago started made some comment, and he riled up a bunch of people against me on Twitter. And it was some innocuous comic book comment that I made about. So I forget what the context of it was, but I said something about guys or women not liking a certain type of comic book. And it was, I didn't mean anything by it. That was just what I thought. It wasn't like, women are too dumb to read comic books. It was nothing like that. But he got all these people whipped up, and suddenly I'm in the middle of this poop storm that I didn't start, I didn't predict, I wanted no part of. It was like, what the heck is going on? And that's so minor compared to a lot of stuff that goes on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
All I'm saying, I don't remember why we got into this. How did we get into this?
We're talking about voting and advertising and the negatives and us figuring that people, and you started talking about how you didn't see it, but you did see, you know.
I saw a couple ads, and then you mentioned Gab.
YouTube.
Oh, you mentioned Gab was shut down.
Gab was shut down because of its ties to those guys.
All I'm saying is that.
I love when we try to backtrack and trace where our conversation started, because usually it's nowhere.
Well,
they come out of nothing.
Because how did Gab come up?
Gab came up because
was it a joke? Did you make a joke like, oh, did you see it in Gab? And that was a joke, and then you had to explain
maybe,
it?
Yeah, maybe. Right. So I don't know. Go back and listen to the whole thing. I don't have time for this. We've been talking for a half hour. I don't have time to go back and realize where my thoughts go. My thoughts go, and yours do too, because we key on something and then we just roll. That's the hook of this show.
Yeah.
You just got to, you jump on and you hold on tight. And when it's over, we'll let you off.
Remember at the start of the podcast season, you said to me, I want to make sure we're a little more structured. And we kind of...
Well, I have. This is all part of the thing.
Gab is on your white pad right there?
But voting and the whole voting thing, and that turned into the advertising. And then do you vote early or do you vote on election day?
I wanted to vote early, but the polling station's like 20 feet from my front door.
Oh, on election day.
Yeah, on election day. It's like it's next door to me.
And I know a lot of people vote early, and I've been seeing the stickers for weeks, and I understand it. It's great. There's a part of me that I only will vote on election day because I know you never know what's going to happen. I always think to myself, what if I vote 2 weeks early, and then the person I voted for kills somebody in the week after, or it's found that they're using like dogs as puppets, or there's something horrible, you know, they're walking around with a dog on each head, and they're doing like fights. It's like Kukla, Fran, and Ollie, but with live dogs on their fists. I don't want to vote for that person anymore, but it's too late. I've already voted. But if I wait till election day, there's a pretty good chance they're not going to do anything awful now until they're in office, and then it's too late anyway. But at least I didn't help the dog puppeteer get elected, because I couldn't live with myself if that were the case.
Do you hear something awful?
Yes.
Part of me wanted to vote early because part of me is worried something will happen at a polling station.
Listen, you've seen
really
the reports,
paranoid?
Haven't you? No. Haven't you seen the reports coming out of Texas where the machines are recalibrating ballots, so they're telling, and it has happened in Indiana and somewhere else, they're telling, if you do the electronic voting, make sure to review that ballot before you hit submit, because some of the ballots have been calibrated, and the machines, and they're just putting in certain people. Like they found Ted Cruz getting a lot of votes, and people are like, wait, no, but they already submitted it, and then they saw their receipt, and it was like, I didn't vote for him. I voted for Beto. And they're like, oops, sorry.
I have seen those reports, but I was referring to physical safety.
Oh, really? Attack?
For some reason, just after the Jewish church or the Jewish shooting.
The synagogue shooting?
After the synagogue shooting, like legit. Because my polling station, like many polling stations, is a church.
Okay.
And I just, it's an insane leap of logic, I think. And I feel bad for having it. But there is this weird part of me that, like, I don't know, sometimes people like to do bad things on dates that have, like, a meaning, you know?
In this day and age, because I was one who always, like, what are you worried about? If it's going to happen, it's going to happen. But now, it's not that far out of the realm of possibility that something horrible could happen anytime you're in public.
Right.
You know? When they started putting metal detectors in at sporting events, I was like, come on, this is not really helping, blah, blah, blah. But then, you know, last week we're sitting in the Elton John concert, sold out, and I'm looking around, and I go, there's a lot of people in here. And who knows? Who knows what, you know? So I get it. I get your, I don't worry about it that much, like, for voting. And you know why? And this is horrible to say. Because I'm a white guy. And I'm not in a group that is normally targeted for hate.
Thank God.
I'm just a middle-aged white guy who's going to the park to vote. I'm not a religion or an ethnicity that unfortunately is the target for hate.
Yeah.
So I feel pretty safe walking to my polling place and casting my vote. But like you said, if I'm going into a house of worship to vote, or if I'm a member of a minority or religious belief that people are, you know, if I'm going to a heavily Muslim polling place, I'm not worried about the Muslims. I'm worried about ignorant idiots who may attack because there's a large Muslim population,
yeah,
or a large Jewish population, or a large African-American population. And I'm worried that, you know, I'm more worried about not the physical violence. I'm worried about the Russians and the Chinese and what was the other country today? Was it Iran? That they're saying, you know, we know the Russians have already meddled. They've admitted that they were, you know, complicit in trying to get, at least with Facebook and stuff, and influencing the election. We know the Chinese are listening and trying to do some stuff that way. And now there's reports that Iran is the same. So I'm more worried about that. I'm more worried about the fact that I'm going to vote on Tuesday, and who knows if that vote's ever going to get anywhere, you know? Or if I'm voting and someone has hacked into the system and suddenly I'm not voting, I'm playing Fortnite, you know?
I think that's all overblown.
You think?
Dave Chappelle had a great CNN interview, and he had a great line. He was like, yeah, everybody's talking about how the Russians, you know, interfered. I got to say, it's not like the Russians made Americans racist.
That's true.
You know, and it's like,
no.
Well,
but the Russians,
you know,
the
you
Russians,
put it that way.
If you look at America as a pickle jar, and the racists are the pickles, the Russians loosened the top so that the pickles could get out. Because we had pretty much cranked down on a lot of that. We had tightened that lid, so they were still there.
I don't know. They were
still swimming around, but now...
But the Russians, I don't know.
If they meddled in the election and, you know... Popular vote versus all this other stuff, you take it how you want. But if they did, he is absolutely correct. America was racist to start with.
I'm pretty sure.
Why do I only get calls during the podcast?
I'm pretty sure the presidential election had less to do with Russians and more to do with we had literally the worst presidential candidate in history ever on the Democratic side.
Yeah, it was horrible.
Come on.
Well, listen.
Sorry, listener. I know you voted for Hillary, and I know you really wanted her to win. A lot of them.
A lot of them.
I know a lot of our listeners.
Maybe our listeners.
People don't.
I think a lot of the station listeners may have voted the other way.
Well, I know this because people didn't like me for a while.
Well, that's because you were back in Bernie.
That's what I mean, my crazy millennial. Look at that millennial kid.
Yeah. Well, and I was guilty of that at first, too. And, I still don't know how we're getting free college education for everybody.
I actually know. I actually turned on the $15 minimum wage and the universal health care.
Yeah.
I think he could have figured out the money behind the colleges and universities, but I think the health care is the one that gets me. Because oh my God, what was it? Casey had to mail something at the post office, and it's so funny. My wife is like very sweet.
Yes, yeah, she's very nice.
Very positive about like everything, basically. And has a couple cynical jokes here and there. But when she goes to the U.S. Post Office, all hell breaks loose.
Really?
Oh my God. It's so
funny.
Does
she go postal?
Just listen to her talk about the post office anytime. She's so funny. She's like, oh, okay, well, there's one person in line in front of me right now, so I'll be about an hour and a half.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, do you want stamps? Sure, I want stamps. I need 6 for every bomb I'm sending.
Oh, okay, fine. Dude, when I was in Colorado, one time, and I bought a bunch of weed and I wanted to mail it to myself in Illinois.
You can't mail weed.
I wanted to commit a felony, right? That was a joke. So
I don't think it was.
I wanted to commit this. but I actually had to go to a post office or a
UPS?
Food court-y kind of, like there was an area with a U.S. post office counter.
Got it.
Nearby. And a guy walked up with a box, put it on the counter, and he's like, okay, what are you mailing? And the guy literally said, oh, just a bunch of weed. And the post office worker laughed and took the box and slapped a sticker on it and just mailed it. So apparently, yeah, I don't know. And then you think, oh, this could be our healthcare system. Delicious. Delicious. Well, my uncles were in town from Philadelphia last week. And
Speaking of weed, we
had dinner.
I don't know why.
We had lunch, and one of them just retired, and he and his wife retired, and she cannot get her Social Security sorted out, because even though she changed her name when they got married when they were like 19, for some reason, the Social Security office still has her maiden name there. Now, she got the Social Security card right away, and okay. So she's had a Social Security card with my last name, Goff,
yes.
on it for 45 years.
That should seem like enough.
And yet, they have had to like submit all this different paperwork and all this documentation. And my uncle was just like, yeah, they basically printed off a Social Security card for her with a new name, gave it to her, and then didn't change anything in their systems.
That's a good story. I may be able to match it or top it.
Oh.
My buddy's dad is dead. But he's not. He's only dead to the IRS.
Okay.
And Social Security.
Well,
he's not. Now, my friend's mom unfortunately died a couple years ago, but his dad is still very much alive. Very much alive. But he's dead.
So not owing the IRS or getting Social Security is to come out ahead or behind?
He's coming out behind because all of his Social Security checks aren't coming anymore because he's dead.
Yeah, you're
coming. Even though he's not. And it's hard. That's a hard argument to make. As you call Social Security, you go, hey, guess what? I'm not dead. They go, well, we got you as dead. But I'm not.
How did they come to that conclusion?
I don't know. And my buddy can't figure it out either. He's been helping his dad try to figure it out. And he can't figure out why. He said maybe when his mom died a couple years ago, they just, I don't know, axed the whole family. It was like some thing. They just, well, if one's dead, they must all be dead. And that was it.
Wow.
So I don't know. So, yeah, it's lovely. But get out and vote. That's the key to that.
Yeah.
You got to vote.
Yeah.
Vote early, vote often. And, you know, if you're unhappy with the way things are going, don't go on social media and complain about it and then sit home. You got to vote. And I know this is a tired old, we talk about this all the time. Voter turnout is horribly low. If you look at countries where they have not had a vote for a long, been able to vote, watch these countries that go out and people will stand in line for hours and hours to vote. And in this country, we are lazy. On so many levels, we're too late. And I know people are going to go, it's not that we're lazy. It's that we don't believe the system is working and there's no good candidates and blah, 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 blah. All right. Well, the only way to change it is from within. You're not going to change it from without. So you got to get the person you think is going to be the least objectionable and get them in. And then start finding people who are even less objectionable than that. And try to get them to run.
I will say, though, during the primary, you know, everyone always said, well, you got to vote in the primary. Well, first of all, for the last presidential election, everyone's, you know, once
sure.
the results started to come out, you got to vote in the midterms. You got to vote in the midterms. And then some people say, well, I still hate everyone running in the midterms. Oh, you got to vote in primaries. You got to vote in primaries. Okay. I vote in the primaries. Let's be real. Look at the candidates in the primaries.
Right.
You got a Republican with billions of dollars. You got a Democrat with billions of dollars. Do the math. Who's going to win the primaries?
Right.
Voting in the primaries didn't do crap.
No.
At all. And I did, and it didn't.
You have to
like,
anyway.
There's no effect or impact. So that was extremely frustrating.
I understand
And I don't buy the argument that's like, oh, you got to vote, you know, earlier and in this. It sometimes it doesn't matter. But I still agree with what you said. Everyone should still vote.
Yes,
you should still go
vote.
With the lesser of two evils when you can. And I will say that if you're in the state of Illinois, I read somewhere, so it must be true, that as long as you give your employer 24 hours notice, you can get up to 3 hours to vote on election day.
There you go.
And that's like a legal thing.
Yes,
I believe.
Look that up. Google that.
Please look that up and confirm
Hold
that.
On.
But because we used to have people make the excuse they're lazy and all that stuff. But I do think some people have.
Oh, you have to go to work. But they open the polls at 6 and they close them at 7.
But what I would say is some people do have a legitimate excuse that are working two jobs or they got
well,
a
sure,
job and kids.
Yeah.
There are.
Well, that's why they started. Early voting,
yeah,
so
that's
you could
true.
Vote. You
that's
know,
true.
You've got
right.
you've got weeks to vote.
You're right. No, you've got the options. You're right.
I understand. I understand the hardship of work, but
it's quite a hardship. No, you're right. I forget. I didn't take that into account. But yeah, everyone should go out and do it. I'm just saying. I'm still slightly bitter and cynical about.
I
the whole
understand
thing,
you but, are.
But man, you were right. You remember during the 2016 election when I kind of talked about how hopeful I was about Bernie and all that stuff. We had some long conversations about how you're just like, I don't know if it's just because I'm older or what, but I'm just cynical.
Oh, I'm very cynical.
I just don't have that hope anymore.
Yes, because you were all, oh man, you like many people your age and other people, you were all jazzed up, man.
Yeah.
You were in. This was going to be your deal.
Yeah.
This was your election. You were fine. In Illinois, hold on. Going back to what you said. All right. How does it work in our state? In Illinois, you are required to get 2 hours from your employee. It's your employer is required to give you, and this is from the AFL-CIO. Your employer is required to give you 2 hours only for general elections and special elections, and it applies to election day only. It requires at least 1 day notice before election day to your employer. So you need to tell them, hey, I'm going to be late on Tuesday. By either on Monday, you need to tell them, hey, I'm going to be late on Tuesday because I'm voting, and employers are not, if the employer requests time off to vote on election day, so if you come in Tuesday morning and go, I got to leave early, your employer doesn't have to give it to you. If you give them at least 1 day's notice prior to election day, they have to give you 2 hours to go and vote. So
this podcast drops on Sunday, so yeah, Monday.
So tomorrow Monday, go into your boss if you haven't voted yet, and if you think you need to, tell them. Listen, tell your boss I may be a little late tomorrow morning. I'm going to be at the polls when they open after I drop the kids off, but you're required to give me two hours. And if they go, we don't have to give you 2 hours. Now remember, we're all employees at will in Illinois, so they could fire you for something else. But according to this. That's it. And for primary elections, a voter must have the consent of the employer. The employer can specify when the voter may leave. The employer may decide when during the workday that the employee may leave to vote, except that the employer must permit a 2-hour absence during work hours if the employee's working hours begin less than 2 hours after the opening of the polls. So that's not going to work if you don't have to be at work till 9. The polls open at 6. You can be at they don't have to give it to you if you're... you know, if you don't, and unfortunately, if you have one job that ends at 5 and you got to be at another job at 6, you might be in a rougher state.
Pickle.
Pickle. That jar of pickles, the racist pickle jar.
Yeah.
Going back full circle. We bring it back around. All right.
Back to what I was saying.
Yes, what were you saying about me being cynical and you being bright-eyed and bushy-tailed?
Yeah, well, that ended pretty quickly, didn't it?
Yeah, now you're over on the old cranky cynical side.
I was hot to trot on politics.
You were all jazzed up. You were wearing Bernie gear. You were talking it up. You were writing, what was it, the Huffington Post? Where were you published?
You were
published somewhere.
I was written in HuffPo.
Yeah, you were all over it.
Yeah.
You were not a dumb millennial, that you actually had thoughts.
Talk about the worst election in modern history to get a enthusiastic, charged up voter base to be completely deflated.
Yeah, you.
Of all the elections.
All those billions of people wasted.
I mean.
Yes, because you think of all the people that were supporters of Bernie. And I don't take into those third party candidates. Those third party candidates are ridiculous. And I know every vote is sacred. You don't waste a vote. Yeah, you wasted a vote. Shut up. There. You want to know what I think? You voted for Jill Stein. You wasted your vote. And part of this is your fault.
Well, it depends on the state.
Yeah, well, come on.
If you're in California, it doesn't matter what you do. It's 80% liberal. Right?
I know, but if you're throwing these third party, viable third party votes.
No, but if you throw a third party, what I'm saying is there are certain states where it doesn't matter.
If I
vote for a Democrat in like South Carolina, it doesn't matter.
But in some places it does.
Yes, there are like 7 states where if you voted third party, you messed everything up.
Right. Yeah, you screwed the pooch.
Yeah.
But back to what you were saying, yes, you had this energized, huge number of voters that wanted something, and rather than the Democrats going, listen, we got to figure out a way, something, we've got the numbers, we've got to figure out a way for this to work, we've got to monopolize on this, we've got to capitalize on it. They didn't. They squandered it. Same business as usual.
Who was Hillary's vice presidential pick?
Tim Kaine.
Tim Kaine.
Tim Kaine.
Oh, good old Kainer. Yeah.
Not Patrick Kaine.
Oh, boy.
I don't know. Yeah, Tim Kaine. He, that was...
Oh, those were the days. Hey, politically related but less offensive and upsetting, you hear about WWE?
Nothing. No. Oh, with the kingdom, Saudi Arabia?
Saudi Arabia.
Oh, man. Did you see the clip that John Oliver played where the Undertaker is, everybody's cheering his name, thousands of thousands cheering his name. They can't, oh, man, they love the Undertaker. And then he mentions Saudi Arabia, and the entire place starts booing him. The entire crowd. He turned, like, from babyface to heel, even though he is a heel. That's how fast the crowd flipped on him.
Yeah.
Wow, how do they go back there?
That's a story. So, listener, if you're not aware, WWE signed this two-or-some-year deal to do a bunch of pay-per-views.
I think they were doing, what, 10 over there or something?
In Saudi Arabia.
In Saudi Arabia.
This, well, it will have aired by the time we post this episode, but as of the time of recording, they're about to go to Saudi Arabia for this pay-per-view called Crown Jewel.
Yes.
So then, you know, a couple weeks ago, the journalist gets murdered.
Murdered.
Brutally.
Let's not mince words.
In Saudi Arabia.
Well, he was murdered in Turkey.
Well, he was
a critic. He's a Washington Post columnist who was murdered in the Saudi embassy in Turkey. Just so people know that we have the facts.
Yes.
Because I know a lot of people listen to us and go, they have no idea what they're talking about. What do you mean somebody from the, some alien from space was killed on a turkey? No, that's not what we said at
all. And we can pretty much confirm this, right? Wasn't there actual footage released from the watch?
Well, yeah. And there's footage of the quote-unquote hit squad arriving. They came on a private jet and they left the same day. And one of the things they brought with them was an autopsy expert and another was a bone saw. So, yeah, they kind of figured out. And now they've said that first they didn't do it. They didn't do it. Then it was, well, there was a fist fight. And he got killed in the fist fight. And I'm like, what was he fist fighting? A saw that they dismembered him and buried him? Then they bury him in a garden. You know? So back to, go ahead, back to the background story.
Yes.
But that was horrific.
Horrific and awful. So congressmen started urging the WWE to not do this pay-per-view.
Well, because all of a sudden, a lot of huge companies are pulling out of business with the Saudis.
Silicon Valley had some big conference or events coming up. Massive. They're all pulling out. But if WWE canceled the event, they would lose between $2 and $5 million. It's a big range. I don't remember the exact number, but it was literally in the millions of dollars range.
And my answer to that is sell a couple more action figures.
I know, right?
Bring back The Rock. He'll make it back for you.
Hold on. What's that I hear? Capitalism. So they're a publicly traded company, and they got to make money, Brian, for their investors.
Well, they do until their investors go, do we want, there will be a lot of investors who don't care where the money comes from.
The vast majority. Remember United Airlines' latest botch when they, like, beat the hell out of that guy on the plane or whatever?
Oh, when they dragged the doctor off?
Yeah, their stock went down, like, a point for a day, and then it went up 5 points that week or something crazy.
Yeah.
It's,
all right.
People don't care. This is the sin. See? Last 2 years have ruined me, Brian.
I understand.
It's ruined me. How could it not?
Wow, this is like that Lindsay Lohan, the Parent Trap, where all of a sudden we've changed bodies.
So anyway, WWE's got to make the money, so they're still
doing it. Paid.
But for over the last, they had their first all-female pay-per-view last week. It was really great. You know, Women's Revolution in Wrestling.
How'd that go in Saudi Arabia?
So in Saudi Arabia, they're not allowed to show anything involving the women. In fact, at the last Saudi Arabian event, they showed a promo and there was a female wrestler in it, and WWE had to apologize to, like, the entire crowd for letting a woman be visible, because this is how progressive this country is.
Well, they just let women start driving. When are they going to let them start wrestling?
So at the women's pay-per-view, they showed a promo for Crown Jewel on the Titantron, and the crowd was booing it so badly they had to cut it off.
Yeah.
They had to cut off the feed in the live event and just air it on the network. And then for the last 2 weeks, WWE's announcers have not been allowed to mention Saudi Arabia when promoting Crown Jewel.
Good.
So they can't say Crown Jewel in Saudi Arabia. They just say Crown Jewel.
Yeah.
And as you said, when The Undertaker was doing a promo, they booed. Then John Cena said he refused to go.
See, last I heard, he had said he might not go. Now he said no.
He's out.
He's kept the jean shorts in America.
They wrote him out.
They might not see him.
And they were going to have a dream match with AJ Styles, the Universal Champion, and Daniel Bryan, one of the best wrestlers ever.
Okay.
And Daniel Bryan refused to go.
Really?
So they had the match live on SmackDown on Tuesday, and then they gave AJ Styles a different opponent in Crown Jewel.
Oh, Vince.
But hey, they're gonna make that oil money, and that's gonna go right into the shareholders' pockets. So everybody wins, Brian.
Is it that
this is the world we've created?
I know. It's the world we created where, you know, from the top down we can't condemn a murder because, you know, there's money to be made. There's weapons to be bought. There's oil to be bought and sold. There's, you know, real estate deals to be made. So, God forbid we speak up. And I know a lot of people will argue, well, it's one person. What, are you going to do all this because of one person? While physically, it's one person. It's not. It's not all about one journalist who was murdered. It's about a whole, a whole human rights background. It's about a lot of different things, but we're going to make it easy. We go, well, it's just one guy, so what are, you know, we can't, WWE can't shut down because of one guy. You know, think of the good of all the fans and those millions of people or thousands of people who go to the event in Saudi Arabia. Think of all the merch we're going to sell. Oh my goodness. Undertaker t-shirts and I don't even know any more wrestlers. We can't say to the women wrestlers. Who's the little leprechaun guy? Does he still wrestle?
Hornswoggle?
Yeah, does Hornswoggle still wrestle?
No.
What about the Road Warriors? Are they still wrestling?
No.
No. How about the Suck It guys? Are they still wrestling?
They are at Crown Jewel.
Okay, of course they are. They don't care. Human rights? Suck it.
They're also in their 50s.
Care. Are they?
Oh, yeah.
They got to be, yeah, because I don't know. Who are those guys? I know they don't go by the Suck It guys.
Triple H and Shawn Michaels, D-Generation X.
D-Generation X. Shawn Michaels, the Heartbreak Kid?
Yeah.
He's 78.
They're wrestling Kane and The Undertaker, the Brothers of Destruction. Their combined age is 709. The four of it's literally like the geriatric tag team match.
It's a whole new demographic. Pretty soon we're going to see senior homes with fight clubs because they're like, well, if those guys can do it, so can we. No, Bob, your hip. Oh, no, that is horrible.
This is a match last seen in 1998.
Yeah, well, that's how I know who these guys are because that's about the last time I watched wrestling.
Like literally 1998. So,
Shawn Michaels is still wrestling?
I mean, I'll say he's possibly the greatest wrestler of all time, but still.
I know these guys are in great shape, but.
He came out of retirement for these matches in Saudi Arabia.
Well, sure, because nobody else will do them.
It's kind of true.
Nobody with any moral character is going to do it.
Well, none of the women can.
Yeah, how does that? If I'm a woman, now granted, we know that the WWE, they're like the only game in town for big time wrestling entertainment,
yeah.
Sports entertainment. So the women have to kind of suck it up, you know. But how do they feel that the company that they work for, the company that they risk injury for, is not going to stand up to a place that does not even think of them as citizens, does not even think of them enough to let them in a building? But I got to work for, you know, my boss, Vince McMahon, is saying I'm not even a second-class citizen. I'm just, you know, I'm there for breeding and maybe I'll let you drive, but not too often. How does that play? How do you sit with your divas? But knowing Vince only from, you know, articles and interviews, I'm sure he's thinking there's a ton of broads out there who'll wrestle if these broads don't want to.
Oh, yeah, he's
old
school.
That's exactly, yeah. He doesn't care. And even Stephanie, his daughter / what is she now? The COO, the CEO, the president. She's still married to Triple H.
I think Triple H is the COO. I think Stephanie is the vice president.
And that's real life.
Real life.
Right, that's real life stuff.
He's actually the COO. And I want to say she's the vice president of
talent or something.
Yeah, something.
All right, something. But
or creative.
Yeah,
or
how do you sell that to her? But why question that when people will say, how do you sell, you know, they'll look at the president and go, how does he sell that in front of his daughter or his wife?
I mean, maybe the idea is if we make a bunch of money over here, we can reinvest that in talent development and the women will benefit too, or maybe, who knows? I don't know how they'll spin it.
No, it's who
cares. Hear about the Google walkout?
Yes.
I didn't know that was planned.
I didn't either. We were having a conversation about this as I left the house tonight because it was on some fake news outlet as we were watching it. So I don't even know if it really happened. I say that tongue in cheek. Believe me. And Debbie was livid because part of it was a lot of it about Google's response to sexual harassment claims in the workplace. And specifically, the guy who invented the Android system had been accused of sexual improprieties. Google's investigation found that those allegations were substantiated and he was let go, but not before he was given a $90 million severance package. And people were up in arms about that. And Debbie was up in arms about that. And while I find it personally distasteful, from a corporate standpoint, I'm sure they have to do that kind of thing. There's all sorts. Though, when you get to that level in a corporation, your contract has got to be as thick as an old school phone book. And you've got a team of lawyers poring over it before you ever sign it, saying, listen, if he's let go for this and that, he is still due X amount of money, X amount of stock, whatever it is. And yeah, in the real world, you and I, if we get, you know, if I'm groping somebody at work and GN tosses me out, they don't owe me squat, you know, maybe a call to the police. But in the corporate offices, you know, in the penthouse suite, baby, you can do all sorts of stuff and get your money.
So you think that was their only option?
Unless he had been convicted of a crime, everybody's got morals clauses in their contract at that level.
Dude, what does that mean, really?
That means, that if you do something that reflects badly on the company and it's proven, or if there's criminal, and all of them are different, and there's clauses for dismissal, and there's stuff you can't even imagine going into these high-level corporate contracts. So he may have been found. Google may have found that the charges were substantial, and they believed the charges, but he wasn't arrested. He didn't go to jail. So they handled it internally, and were like, you got to go. Well, okay, I got to go, but let's look at my contract. Here's my clauses. I'm due this and this and this, no matter what. Well, that sucks, but we signed a contract, so here's your money. Hit the bricks. And morally, I find it despicable. But business is, unfortunately, welcome to America. We are great, as always. Business is business.
Business is business. Can I,
business is business, Megyn Kelly.
Look, can I clarify? I'm not like...
You can clarify a lot of things.
No, but earlier I did say like, aha, capitalism. Everyone's like, socialist. No. I'm actually not as socialist as you might think. I think capitalism's really great.
You don't work for free?
No. Listen, capitalism's great, got where we are today, but I think that unchecked, unfettered, kind of accelerated capitalism and late-stage capitalism, like 300 years on or 200-some years on, you know, where we're at now, like, it's gotten to this, like, kind of unacceptable level where that, you know, once you get this maw of wealth inequality where all that and everything kind of exacerbates, like, our economy keeps accelerating and, like, you know, the middle class keeps falling and college expenses keep going up and healthcare and all that. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a snowball effect. And I think, capitalism is great. But late stage capitalism, like, after 150, 200 years, you got to kind of reassess some things. Maybe, like,
you could tweak everything. Gets tweaked.
You should rebalance a little bit. And like, we haven't really done, like a level set.
Right.
We haven't had a level set in a while. And I think, I think that, what was that, Yahoo, the guy that was selling the drugs for 20...
Oh, Pharma Bro?
Shkreli, right?
Yeah, Pharma Bro.
Stuff like that. Like, that's not stuff that would have happened in capitalism, for say, 100 years ago. 50 years ago.
Well, there's no morality left.
Yeah, and it's the social thing. You know? So a lot of things have changed. I think right now a lot of people aren't real pro-capitalism because it doesn't work with the moral framework that we're working with. And you know, I don't have any answers. But
I think it's working perfectly with the moral framework that we're working with
now.
I think it all is going hand in hand perfectly.
Maybe. My points are very nuanced, and I'm not always good at explaining them. But what I'm saying is everything's really complicated. And
well, sure. But listen, our job is to have hot takes and boil it down. Sound bites. That's all we're about. Sound bites. Boom. Viral. Well, everything goes viral. Sound bites go viral. Videos go viral. We don't have videos. We should. Well, we
have the Facebook
video. Sure. That put it viral. We don't. Did we have any hot takes today on the Facebook Live video? I don't know.
I don't remember what we talked about.
I don't either.
You talked about Craigslist.
Oh, I called people jerks. That's a hot take.
It's very hot.
Oh, man.
It's getting
loved it.
Hot in her.
I love the
hot.
Oh. You know where else it's getting hot? I saw this story, and it was, are we done with politics for now? Are we done ranting about the system?
Yeah, this just incidentally happens one episode a season. We get really political, but this was pretty light.
Well, this was not attacking a political party. This is talking about voting and issues and all of that kind of thing. I mean, I made a couple comments about the administration, but listen, everybody knows I'm not a fan.
Hey, listen,
of the administration.
You blasted the right, I blasted the left. We're even.
Everybody blast away. Blast away. We got to talk about Halloween because that was fun for both of us. But I saw this story. I was so excited for you. I know you will take it to heart. Rockford is making a comeback, and so is the city's pride, according to the Chicago Tribune. That's right. Rockford, they're saying if you haven't been to Rockford in a while, you might want to plan a visit. Because work is underway to transform an old dilapidated factory called the Amarok Building. Do you know that building?
Yeah, the Amarok Building.
Yeah. Well, now it's going to be a 160-room Hilton Embassy Suites Hotel. The Rockford Conference Center is going to be steps away from the action. They've got a new Rockford Conference Center coming. They're saying it's got all the amenities of cities like Milwaukee and Indianapolis and other river-lined cities in the Midwest. They've got things that city dwellers love, Cody. They've got craft breweries, a bustling restaurant scene. Have you been part of the bustling restaurant scene?
They actually have a pretty legit restaurant scene.
Social Urban Bar and Restaurant, Octane Interlounge. Have you been to either of those?
Not those.
Oh, you should go there. Those are the ones that are quoted in the trip.
I've heard of Octane,
They've
though.
Got a coffee roaster, swanky lofts, yoga studios, and so much more. They've got the Rockford Ice Hogs. They've got the UW Health Sports Factory, bringing amateur tournaments in basketball, volleyball, pickleball, and more throughout the year. Story-filled old brick buildings, many of which are skeletons from Rockford's past, factory-filled past, and they are banking on drawing more visitors to the area when the hotel opens in the spring of 2020. So there you go. According to Gary Gorman, chairman of Gorman & Company, I see a changing downtown Rockford. I really do. I think we're going to be able to attract events to Rockford that wouldn't come here otherwise, and I think we're going to change the image of Rockford. Cody, your thoughts?
Nice. I've heard a lot of good things about some of the developments going on.
WRKR looking for a morning show?
WROK.
ROK, we go to the Rock. Rockford.
If you want.
Listen, if we're there in the renaissance of the city, we're part of the rebirth. Call it Phoenix in the morning when Rockford rises from the ashes. Ride our coattails to the stars.
Well, if we're working for a Rockford radio station, I hope you're comfortable moving into an extra bedroom at my parents' house, because we're not going to be making enough money to live on our own.
Oh, yeah, we are. Big time. Major market personalities coming to Rockford.
Well, maybe, but...
Listen, they've got a burgeoning restaurant scene and a craft brewery. They can afford us.
Last time I got a radio job offer in Rockford, it was, I think, below legal minimum wage.
Oh, I'm sure. Those are the kind of markets that back, you know, those you're looking for right out of college or after your first radio job. They go, hey, man, you could do afternoons for 13 grand. A day? No, 13 grand for the year. Plus, hey, maybe if you're lucky, we'll throw you a couple remotes throughout the year. So you get to go to the Gas and Go and get $100 on a Saturday, but you're doing like a four-hour live broadcast when you're not introducing the hits. And then, you could supplement your income. You do your show in the afternoon, but then you sell in the morning, and then you do some play-by-play of high school basketball. And Rockford, I guess, they're small market. I don't know. I don't think they're medium market. They're small market.
The population's about 150,000.
Yeah, small market. So. Nothing wrong with it. But I'm happy to see. Listen, it'll give me another reason to go back.
Well,
I was sad once the clock tower got torn down. Mm-hmm. I figured there was no reason to go to Rockford.
No, Clock Tower's done. Pete McMurray started in Rockford.
Oh, yeah.
Or at least was in Rockford. I knew his name from Rockford when he started here at WGN.
Yeah, that was where he started.
It's like, Pete McMurray from Rockford.
From Rockford, yeah.
For sure. I don't know what station. Ago. I have no idea.
I think he was on ROK.
Was it ROK?
The Rock. He was a rock jock.
Ben.
Back in the day.
I know that the same two afternoon guys have been doing 104.9 DX.
Yeah, there was
Stone and Double T.
Stone and Double
Turbin.
T.
And Turbin. Turbin was some...
Turbin can't be out anymore.
I don't know if Turbin...
They must have changed his name. What they called before? Haji?
I don't even know if he like had it. He might have been a white dude for all
there
I know.
There was a guy that used to when... Because I used to do comedy up there. Not only at the Quark, but there was another like steakhouse somewhere in town that did comedy. The most precarious stage. I think that gave me vertigo because they put some plywood over a stairwell that went downstairs and it down into, I guess, a basement or storeroom in this place. And it was really high up and there were no railings around it. So you had to climb up to this platform and... Like, if I tilted my head back, I would get real dizzy. I was always afraid I was going to fall off. But there was a guy there who had been on the radio in Rockford forever in the afternoons. And I'm talking because I'm trying to remember his name. But he had, like, a foundation. It was somebody's kids. And so you would you'd do these shows, and part of the proceeds would go for so-and-so's kids.
Jerry's kids?
No, not Jerry's kids. No. It was his name. I'll probably remember. But he was, some people go to those markets, and they become, like, local legends, and it's the big fish in a small pond. And they're big shots, and why leave? You know, there's guys who've been in the Quad Cities forever, which is a nice, you know...
That's where Spike came from, too.
Yeah, but Spike didn't stay. Became a legend.
But
there's fine places that people stay.
Yeah.
You know, I knew some guys in Des Moines who were like the kings of the morning for 20-some years.
Big Ken and Colleen in the Morning is where I got the name Producer Cody.
Really?
Yeah, I was an intern, a promotions intern at Des Moines Radio Group. And they wanted
Big
to do some...
Ken and Colleen.
Yeah, they wanted to do some bit, and they had their producer was Producer Kurt.
Okay.
Who was a Drake University graduate.
Ah.
So they thought it'd be funny if I came in and I was like, oh, here's intern Cody, and I would tell like a joke or something, and then they would say, okay, well, call in if you want Cody to be the new producer. And then I like cut one of them off on the air when I was
you
like...
cut one on the air?
I cut them off.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, and I said, Producer Cody. And they were like, oh, okay, Producer Cody.
Wow.
And it was funny because the first two people that called in said they'd rather have me be the producer.
Nice.
And so they're taking them live, and they're like, "Uh-oh, this could be bad." But then the next three wanted Kurt, which could have been awkward the other way.
Producer but, Kurt, do you remember Lou and Larry from Des Moines?
No,
they were on the rock station there. Was it the
Laser?
Eagle?
Laser.
Was it Laser? Yeah.
Laser 103.3, I think. Yeah. I was.
Larry and the Round Guy by the time you got there.
Oh, I don't know.
Do you remember the Round Guy?
I don't know. I know Sarah. I don't know what her radio name is. No, but I don't know what her radio name is.
Okay.
But Sarah is a DJ at the rock station, and she's been, I think, at Laser for a really long time.
Yeah.
And she was in my journalism classes, my like 10-person journalism class. Yeah, I was like friends with Sarah. She's really cool.
Yeah, I did that show a bunch, and then I was talking to them years ago before I started at GN. I was talking to them
at Laser 103.3.
Yeah.
Did you ever do the X in Rockford? 104.9.
Probably. I've been on every small station across America when I was touring.
You know what freaks me out about the X and going to Rockford?
Hmm.
So the X was the rock station, and I listened to that, and they would play, they do like a little bit of Led Zeppelin, GNR, AC/DC.
Sure.
Loved AC/DC. Oh my God. AC/DC discography every day. But then they do the 90s stuff, some Alice in Chains, and then as the early 2000s, I was in high school from 2000 to 2003. 1999 to 2003, I guess. It did take me 4 years. That's when Puddle of Mudd, Seether, Breaking Benjamin, all these bands started to come out, and they would get played on the rock station. Well, the thing is, progressive, alternative rock or whatever, rock, hard rock, all that stuff, artists kind of stopped making that music after like 2005, 2006. Like, when's the last big new rock song you've heard? They don't really like come out. It's like all pop. Everything is pop or like EDM now. So when you go back to Rockford and I put on the X, they're literally playing the exact same songs they were playing when I was in high school. Because after high school, that genre of music
just ended.
Crystallized.
Yeah, man.
And nothing new has come out. So I love going back to, I always listen to the X's, and it's still Stone and Double D, and some, and maybe Turban, I don't remember. But yeah, and they're always out at Shooters North drinking some Buds, Miller Lights.
Yeah, man.
Every time, $2 Buds.
Shooters North.
Got Miller Lights. Shooters, the bowling alley. Man. How did we get on the... Oh, but anyway, Rockford.
Yes, Rockford's coming back.
My parents are always talking about new places open up. My dad's like, oh, yeah, there's a new brewery on the river. Casey and I actually looked at a couple wedding venues in Rockford. There's a new bar right along the river, by Mary's place, this old dive bar that my brother basically lives at. It's right by Mary's place. And it's
when
really,
he's not conjuring the devil?
When he's not... Yeah, not my bodybuilder brother, okay. my demon brother.
Your demon brother.
Yeah, man, there's some cool stuff. Although I will say, on the other hand, Cliff Breakers is where my older brother Zach's first wedding was.
Okay.
Wedding reception. Cliff Breakers is where you'd go for prom.
Oh, that was the place.
Wedding reception. Okay. My 10-year high school reunion was there, all that stuff. They closed down because people were shooting each other with guns.
Well, that's going to be something that Rockford is going to have to overcome. The ninth most dangerous city in America.
It's getting, the violence is still there, but I've heard downtown's gentrifying and there's some nice places opening, but hopefully they'll open at a faster rate than the old places are closing because of guns.
Well, and, they're trying to capitalize and bridge the gap between Screw City, which is what Rockford was called for years and years because of all the production there.
Manufacturing.
Screw factoring. So they're very happy. They're bringing in this big hotel, and they say that's a good sign. If you can bring a big hotel to anchor your downtown renovation, things are going to be, that's it. So very, very exciting. And I figured that was right up your alley. You'd get a charge out of that.
It's good stuff. I have a great transition into the Halloween talk, too.
Please do it. Hit it.
Went to a Halloween party last Saturday. And there was a girl dressed up as a softball player from the Rockford Peaches.
Wow, that would be baseball.
Was it baseball?
Mm-hmm. A league of their own. Baseball.
It was a woman, so I assumed it was softball.
Wow, that is sexist.
Was very sexist of me.
That is racist.
That's not my fault. I'm not sure if it's racist.
It's misogynistic.
She was white.
All right, it was sexist then.
It's probably sex. I didn't mean
Definitely
it.
Definitely sexist.
But that wasn't my intent.
You probably never saw a league of their own.
I have seen a league of
then
their own.
Then you should have known it was baseball.
You know, I have
Is it
I
just
saw
that
it
it's
was
not
like,
sexist, it's just stupid.
I saw like 25 years ago. It was like right. 8.
All right, fair enough.
I mean, it's been a while.
How about Lou the Round Guy and Heather? Do you remember them from Des Moines?
From Des Moines?
Yeah. Going back to Des Moines.
Oh, no.
Radio. Okay.
Oh, did you? Oh, you looked up the Des Moines radio host?
Just kind of, yeah. I wanted to see because I'm trying to. KGGO they were on, whatever station.
Oh, yeah. What genre is that?
It was rock back in the day. It wasn't laser. It was KGGO.
Oh, they were. I think they were a competitor.
Probably. All right. So back to the Rockford Peach. So you're at a Halloween party? I saw it. Now, is that the party where I saw some pictures of you as Captain Kirk? And your lovely Dr. Mrs. Cody was the USS Enterprise?
It was. By the way, Sarah Green on Laser 103.3.
Okay.
Yeah. My journalism class.
So KGGO was the one we always went on.
Yeah, she's on Laser.
Nice.
She's great.
Perfect.
She's really sweet. I liked her. She was a fun person to have in class. Anyway.
Anyway, back to Halloween.
Well, Halloween weekend.
Halloweekend, yeah. What was, man, Halloweekend.
The weekend prior to Halloween.
I understand.
Casey was sick as a dog.
Oh, no.
She was like bedridden for 2 days.
We attempted to put her out of her misery?
Not yet.
Okay.
No, it was after our one-year anniversary, so I... Oh, you do. You would do weddings and funerals now.
Well, sure. I'll officiate if something, God forbid.
Wow.
But I'll give a eulogy.
All right.
Not if you murder her, though.
That's good to know.
Then I'll just give testimony.
Wow.
That's right.
Well, you'd be a good character witness.
Or lack of character witness.
Yeah, bad. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about that.
I have a good lack of character witness. He has none.
So Friday, she started to feel kind of sick, and then like she had a fever break, and then she's like, oh, I feel better. Went out to Michael's. She put together
the crafty store?
Craft store.
Oh, sure.
She crafted a costume.
I saw that. She's very creative.
She's so creative.
Your wife.
With Halloween.
How did this... Oh, did this come up because you made her watch the entire original Star Trek series? Is that how you decided on the costumes?
We were trying to come up with a couple's costume.
Always tricky.
We had two options.
Yeah.
We were going to be Rick and teenage Rick, little Rick, tiny Rick from Rick and Morty.
I don't know that.
Rick and Morty's
a cartoon?
In a cartoon. There's an episode where Rick clones himself into like a high school Rick and they call him Tiny Rick.
Like Mini-Me.
Yeah. He walks around going, Tiny Rick! Throwing his arms up. So it was going to be Rick and Tiny Rick and it was going to be really funny.
That sounds very funny.
And then I was like, well, we could be, I mean, I'm a Kirk because he's blonde.
Sure.
And I'm a Trekkie.
And misogynistic.
And I'm a misogynist. Yeah. So
all right, perfect.
I have a communicator from the original series. Because of course I do.
Why wouldn't you?
Why wouldn't I? And a tricorder. So I was, I wanted to get her one of the cute dresses.
Oh yeah.
AKA extremely sexist.
Would you have painted her blue or something?
60s outfits. Yeah. No. Well, you know, it's funny. The women in that show wear some outfits, man. Mm-hmm. Like, but not just sexy, just out there.
Yeah. Crazed.
I mean, there's actually, she found a Kickstarter for somebody writing a book on, like, the women outfits of Star Trek, the original series.
Oh, wow.
Just getting into the fashion of it. It's some cool stuff.
Yeah.
There are a couple outfits she wanted to make, and then she read some random comment on some random YouTube video, and it was, you know, Kirk's real love is the Enterprise.
Oh.
And then it clicked in her head. She's like, well, if we're really going to be a couple's costume and he's Kirk, I should be the Enterprise.
Wow. His true love.
Yeah. So Friday she made the costume, but then Saturday she was like better. Oh. She's like, I can't operate. I wasn't even going to go, but I went by myself and it was fine. And then Sunday she was done. But then by Wednesday at Halloween night, she was feeling better.
She's ready to go.
So replay Linkin Park, formerly headquarters, yeah. The bar where we first met.
Yes.
Block north of our place. This is an insane story. Do you want me to tell this?
No, you've started. Let's cut it off and move on.
Okay. Your turn.
No, go ahead. Duh.
No. Well, I don't want to be too long-winded, but I'll try to keep it short. So we go to Psycho Bingo, right? Like Psycho the movie.
Oh, okay.
We think, okay, I've never done bingo at a bar. Have you?
No.
It's really fast-paced.
Sure.
I guess that's the point of the game.
Yeah, you got to keep moving.
I don't know how any of this works.
Well, if you've ever seen bingo at a church hall or something, you got to keep it moving.
And
people don't want to linger.
I hadn't seen it anywhere.
They want to win, and they want to go home. They want to have a cup of coffee and a hot dog, and they got to move on.
All right. Well, we meet a couple of our swing dance friends there.
Oh.
And Icebag John showed up.
Wow.
He was dressed as Pickle Rick.
Pickle Rick.
From the episode of Rick and Morty.
Not racist pickles from before?
No, 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 okay. No, this is not racist pickle. But, oh, wow, more callbacks.
Listen,
it's like
that's
you've
how
been,
my mind works.
It's like you've been doing...
I'm not as tired. I'm not jet lagged this week. So I'm on the... let's go. I got things percolating.
There's an episode where Rick turns himself into a pickle.
Of course.
And he walks around saying, Pickle Rick! So...
Would Pickle Rick and Tiny Rick have been at odds?
Dude, it would have been great.
That would have been...
I kind of wish we had done the Rick and Tiny Rick and Pickle Rick, and the three of us could have just walked around yelling Pickle Rick and
Pickle Rick.
Yeah, Tiny Rick. Right. So we get there, and a couple of my friends had never been to Replay before, and it's a great arcade bar. Love that place.
Yeah.
I'm excited to show them the place. Bingo. These two, you know how you said when people play bingo, they want to get in and out, they want to win, go home?
Sure.
The DJ, the MCs did not feel that way.
Oh, they were lingering.
There were two MCs, and one was screaming F-bombs at everyone for more than an hour while explaining, quote-unquote, the rules. He's like, happy effing Halloween! Who's effing ready to play effing bingo? And he's like at a 12, right, out of 10, at like... This is at 7:30 p.m.
Oh, God.
He is screaming and cursing and then making all these sexual innuendo.
Hello.
And then he's like, when I call 69, everyone has to scream. This is the thing that happened.
Yeah.
And he yells the word 69, and then he hits a button, some kind of like, you know, like a morning show button, and it plays some porn music of some woman like moaning or something. Now, this guy's a drag queen. So I don't know his sexual orientation.
Doesn't matter.
It seemed that he belonged in Boys Town at a much more sexual, much more sex-focused situation.
Like bare-assed bingo.
Yeah, like this is Linkin Park. We're sandwiched in between the river, which is like an expensive, overpriced, bro douchey bar, and Bar Cocina, which has like $40 all-you-can-drink... Bloody Mary brunches or something.
Well, all right.
Yeah, no. This is not like the right... It doesn't... No one in the... Everyone in the crowd is like, what is going on?
Yeah, read the room.
One of the bingo cards was they were all body part influenced. Like one.
But I thought this was Psycho Bingo, like the movie Psycho.
So this is what I was led to believe as well.
Yeah.
But it was, no, one of the rounds was male part bingo, where you had to do a straight line up and then two dots on the bottom.
Got it.
There was the woman part, which was, I don't even remember, it was like a plus sign, which didn't really look like the woman part.
I would have gone oval.
Yeah, there was one of the bingo card themes was it had to resemble a certain other sex act. I mean, it was like,
oh my god,
very lewd. Very.
That's like midnight bingo. XXX bingo.
It was crude and really sexual and aggressive, and the guy is just screaming. And then
how many people were there for this?
Oh, it was packed. Like 200 people at least.
How was the crowd responding to this guy?
Mostly confused.
Okay. So it wasn't just you that was...
No, I turned around, and I turned around to the Joker behind me, and I mean, he literally was the,
he was
Joker,
the Joker
from,
sure,
Batman. I turned around.
Which version?
Oh, you know...
Heath Ledger Joker, Jared Leto Joker, Cesar Romero Joker.
Cesar Romero, oh wow.
Hey, going way back. Way back. I go original Joker. As the crown prince of crime, I decline.
He was dressed like that one, or like the Jack Nicholson Joker. But,
oh, I forgot all about the Jack Nicholson Joker.
Yeah, he's my Joker.
I sure he is.
But his makeup was more Heath Ledger-ish.
Okay, so he was combined. He was morphing in from all the Jokers. The greatest hits. He was a greatest hits Joker. All right. So you turned to the Joker.
Turned to the Joker behind me, and I was like, what is this guy on? And he's just like, dude, I don't know what is happening with this. Like, everyone is...
Dude, I don't know.
We got through a couple rounds, and I was like, I can't handle this. And headquarters is kind of split into two bars, basically.
Okay.
So we went to the back, and in the back, there was a karaoke area.
Oh.
They claimed they were going to have a karaoke costume contest. You saw this post on Facebook.
Okay.
Probably.
I saw the pictures.
Oh, you didn't see my caption?
No.
All right, so I thought what this means is if you're good at singing karaoke or you're entertaining and you're in costume, you will win based on your performance.
Oh, no.
Apparently not. Apparently you
crowd
just...
Crowd response?
No. Apparently it was just whatever costume the karaoke DJ liked. I'm totally going to talk trash about this entire event because it was so annoying.
It sounds horrifying.
So I go up. So
this is why I don't go out.
The winner of this costume, quote unquote, it's a costume contest, not a karaoke contest. Why were we even singing karaoke? Why did you have to enter a costume contest by singing karaoke? I don't know. But the guy who won was some random person dressed as David Bowie from Labyrinth, which is fine.
Sure.
But that's a costume that's so Gen Con 2006.
Yeah, come on. Yeah.
Like, how overdone is that?
There's no originality in it.
No, and it wasn't even that good. Most of the ones I see at Gen Con are better, and that's not even Halloween. So anyway, but I'm very proud of myself. I was Captain Kirk.
Sure you were.
Casey was the Enterprise.
Yeah, I like it.
I went up and I sang Men in the Box by Alice in Chains.
Wow.
And on the fly, I changed the lyrics to make them Star Trek themed.
Nice.
So I said, like,
that's
I'm...
your improv skills.
I was singing, I'm the man on the ship. Instead of in the box, I was on the Enterprise, and I'm like pointing at Casey frantically.
You didn't get on, or literally, did you? Act it out for some. That would have been the other part of the bar.
Then
you would have won bingo.
Yeah, yes. Then I would have won bingo.
Oh my God, Kirk just mounted the Enterprise.
I said, like, Bones, please come and save me.
Oh, nice.
So I thought it was. I rhymed dilithium crystals with tribbles, and then I held up three tribbles that I had brought with me. Like, come on. Right. Like.
Was the crowd appreciating this?
A couple people.
Oh.
A couple people. Not
pearls before swine.
You know, I was the second guy to go, though.
Oh, were you really?
So I was still kind of warming everybody up. But yeah.
Well, that's not... Sounds like you... I would have enjoyed it. It sounds like you did a hell of a job.
Thank you. I had fun. We all had fun, and the costumes were fun, but, like, it was a dumb night. It was just weird.
Yeah.
So weird.
Well, at least you didn't have to travel far.
Yeah, no, that was.
So if you're looking for any bonus, you don't get trick or treaters in your building, right?
No, do you?
Oh, we do. Yeah, because we don't live in a building. I live in a house.
Oh, look at you.
But yeah. So, anything else strange happened? How long? So, did people stay? I mean, you guys went to the back bar. Were people fleeing this crazed lunatic sexual bingo deal?
The crazed lunatic sexual bingo ended earlier. sure. the night.
Yeah, because the crowd wanted to set him on fire.
It was so bad. I don't know who this guy was or who the other person was.
But so as he's yelling out all of this, what's the other MC doing? Why are there two MCs, first of all? What's the other guy doing? Just putting dots or putting the balls on?
They alternated reading numbers out loud.
Oh.
And every number they read, they screamed something really sexual about. He'd be like, 19. I remember when I was 19, I was having sex. Like, and they weren't jokes. They were just like, he'd read a number under 18 and he's like, that's the age of a boy I saw and I'm not allowed near him anymore. Like, it was so bad. It was so bad. My friends were telling me to go up and grab the mic. They're like, you're a podcaster, right?
Yeah,
can you just stop this?
Yeah. At some point, somebody's got to tackle these guys and just start playing bingo.
It was the most
Even if you're playing senior citizen bingo, it doesn't matter at this point. Church basement bingo sounds like it'd be more exciting. And if you've ever seen the ladies who put out like 57 cards and they have their stampers, bingo's not for the faint of heart.
It's intense.
It's very intense.
It's kind of hard.
I played sight word bingo with some of the kids in fourth grade last week.
Sight word?
So sight words are like easy words that you should just know.
Oh.
When you're learning to read. These are words you know by sight. Boom, boom, boom. So same as bingo, but I flip over a sight word if they have it on their card. But that was more exciting, probably, than what you had to experience. And for you to be uncomfortable, it had to be really bad.
It was. And the other thing, he literally was explaining the rules for 20 minutes. And like, he wasn't explaining anything. He was just screaming sex things. Just nonstop.
While I scream out sex things.
It was so over the top, out of control. Like, I've never been to a more ridiculous event in Linkin Park in my life. It was so outrageous.
Outlandish.
I've been to show tunes sing-along night, Monday nights at Sidetrack.
Okay.
A gay bar in Boys Town,
yeah.
Where they get really into it.
Yeah.
Because they're singing musical numbers, and there's drag queens, and it's just really flamboyant and fun. And that was like an 8, and this was a 10 on the scale of just really sexual and inappropriate and just crazy.
Did you at least get some compliments from other people about your costume? That's a nice couple's costume.
I didn't. Casey did.
I've never done a couple's costume.
Really?
Yeah. It always seemed like a big hassle.
Oh, they're fun. It's limiting.
We don't go anywhere to wear costumes. You know?
Next year we'll go to a thing.
I don't know. After listening to your... I was actually invited this year to a couple... I actually was invited to two Halloween parties this year. Didn't go to either one.
Oh, God, I wish I would have invited you to this.
I would have killed somebody.
You would have hated it, but it would have been so funny to see your reaction to these people.
Well, then if I had been there, we would have tackled those guys and started. We would have emceed, and then suddenly that was our side business, emceeing psycho bingos.
I just don't understand why they branded it as psycho bingo.
Well, because you had to be a psycho, because they had two psychos emceeing it. That's why, because the guy running it was a psychopath. Lunatic. I almost swore again.
That's true.
I love to get all worked up and almost swear on the podcast. We never have, I don't think, but did I?
No, I censored you a couple weeks ago.
Probably.
Maybe not you, but it might have been one of the beer guys.
Oh, it was one of the beer guys.
Was it?
They let one fly.
Mm.
Yeah. Because the problem is, it sounds like we're just talking. Yeah, so people forget. People forget we're actually recording stuff. So I ended up teaching on Halloween. Which I wasn't supposed to do. I was off. But that meant I needed a costume because the teachers all dressed up. Last year when I was in first grade, all the first grade teachers, we were Play-Doh. So it was easy. I ran to Walmart and I got red sweatpants and a red sweatshirt. And then we all printed out a Play-Doh sign and wore it around our necks. So I was red Play-Doh and they were all different colors. It was easy. Now let me backtrack on this story a little bit. So I've been looking for a costume for a number of years because I always think maybe I'll do something on Halloween. And as I said, I was invited to two parties this year, but we were going to see Elton John on Saturday, so that took precedence. Years ago, my mom used to make the best costumes. She made all our costumes when we were kids. Like and Debbie did that for Molly when Molly was little. High quality, really nice costumes. When I was in college, because at Southern, Halloween was a huge thing. My mom made me this beautiful leprechaun suit. Beautiful. Big green curly shoes, a long tailcoat, green knickers, green vest, the whole thing. It was great. And she had made this horse costume that my brother, two of my brothers wore with like a big head and all this, all these things. When I got out of college and she made this beautiful scarecrow costume that my dad wore in this thing at church. It was, so she really outdid herself. She did great stuff.
Yeah. Wow.
Problem was she would then lend them to people and never get them back. So after somehow, when I wasn't living there anymore, she lent out the leprechaun costume. It has never returned. We don't know where it is.
Mm.
Gone forever. Lives now, as they said in Mad Max, it lives now only in my memory. When I was out of college and, I'd been out of college and doing stand-up, she made me this clown suit. And it was a clown suit that had a hula hoop around the middle, so the clown looked very big and goofy. And I wore it a couple years back in my late 20s when I was going to either doing shows on Halloween or going out with the girl I was going out with. We'd go somewhere for Halloween. And it was a fun costume. I had one of those rainbow curly-haired wigs and the costume, and it was great. And then I moved out of my mom and dad's house, and the costume was there, and my mom lent it to somebody. Never to be seen again. And over the last 5 years or I would ask her, maybe even more than that, I go, hey, do you have any idea who you gave that clown costume to? Because it was made for me as a grown man in a heavier time. So I knew if it ever resurfaced, it would fit me again. Because it fit me, I was thinking about it. The costume was made probably 30 years ago. So I should, just go out and buy a costume. But I didn't want to invest. I didn't care enough about having a Halloween costume to go out and invest in something. Because, if I buy a Captain America suit, okay, I'm going to, I love Captain America, but I'm a man in my 50s. I'm not Captain America anymore. I can't pass for Captain America.
I saw a girl dressed as Captain America
at
Replay. She was it was a full jumpsuit too.
Yeah.
She wasn't showing any skin, but
didn't matter.
She was a good-looking Captain America.
That's what I miss about going out. I did not see one sexy nurse. I didn't see one naughty kitty. I didn't see one flirty mouse. I didn't see a cop that I wanted to be strip searched by. I didn't see any of that on Halloween. It was very sad.
I don't know if it's because of the weather, but I only saw one or two sexy costumes.
Really? Maybe that's not a thing anymore.
It might not be in vogue because, hashtag feminism 2018.
Yeah, hashtag feminism, hashtag cover your butt.
This is why I hate women so much.
Wow, I understand because they leave you hanging on Halloween.
Listener.
Let's fast forward from my mom lending this costume to last Sunday.
Oh.
Last Sunday, we took my mom out to dinner because for taking care of the dogs while we were in England. And she wanted to go out for Oktoberfest. So we go to the Hofbrau house in Rosemont. And we're sitting there eating dinner, and all of a sudden she says to me, hey, guess what? Your Aunt Joan brought me back that costume. I go, what costume? She goes, the clown costume. She brought it back. And I'm like, really? She said, yeah, she was going through her garage or something and found it and brought it back to me. I was like, oh, my God, okay. And my mom was, well, if you want, I'll bring it to you tomorrow or Tuesday. And I said, nah, don't worry about it because I don't have to. If I need it, I'll drive out and get it. I'm not teaching on Wednesday, so I won't need it. In my mind, I'm thinking, why didn't you just bring it with you now? You knew you were going to see me. You were literally at my house. You could have just, it was in a grocery bag. It's not like a huge box that she couldn't carry. It was a Carson's bag, just an old plastic Carson's bag. No big deal. Anyway, so now I go to school on Monday, and they say to me, hey, can you work on Wednesday? And I was like, oh, sure. Wednesday was Halloween.
Yeah,
sure, that'll be fine. Now I'm thinking, oh, man, I need a costume. All right, well, I'll go out to my mom's. For whatever reason, I couldn't go Monday. I had something going on. So I figure I'll go Tuesday after school, and then I had a meeting downtown at 7. So I get out of school on Tuesday. I drive out to my mom's. I get it. I need a hula hoop to do the middle. Well, my mom, of course, has advice for everything. Well, why don't you go to, they open a new Five Below. You could get hula hoops there. And I'm like, no, I know where to get a hula hoop. Walmart. And I know people have horrible feelings about Walmart. People hate Walmart. Tell you what, you need any weird thing any time of the year, Walmart's got it. You need a Christmas tree in the middle of July, Walmart's got it.
Any time of the night.
Right. You need a hula hoop in October, guess what?
At 3 in the morning?
You bet. Walmart had it. I go in, 588, boom, I get my hula hoop. Now the problem is, I don't have a wig anymore. Because the wig that was in the bag with the costume, one, it's 30 years old. Two, I don't know how many people have worn it. It's seen better days. I think this wig I actually had in college and wore it when I went to the SIU National Championship game in like 83 in South Carolina. Because I was big fan during college. I wore the rainbow wig to all the basketball and football games. So this wig had definitely seen better days. Plus, as I looked at it, it was tiny. And I don't know, either I put up with a lot of headaches back then or I was a pinhead, because the wig, there was no way this wig was going to fit my giant dome. Plus, there were two foam noses in there and some old makeup. And I went, ooh, I'm going to throw this away. And my mom was like, why? You can still use them. I'm like, ew. I don't know whose nose has been in this foam nose. God, no. So I have to go and get a wig and to go with the costume. Well, Walmart, of course, when I go to get the hula hoop, they have the hula hoop. Their Halloween section is decimated because it's October 30th at about 4:30 p.m.
Yeah, that's not good.
So now I know there's a Party City right there near the Walmart. So I go in there and I find, here's a wig. Okay, perfect. Hey, here's a big giant clown tie. Well, that'll go good too. Oh, and here's a nose. Fantastic. It's supposed to squeak when I put it on. That'll be hilarious. And I get that and I go to get in line, and the line is, it's serpentines at the front by the registers and then goes all the way back to the back of the store. And I'm thinking to myself, now it's about 5 o'clock. I have to be downtown at 8 o'clock for a meeting.
I thought it was 7 o'clock.
Well, I had to leave at 7.
Oh.
So okay. The meeting was at 8. But now I'm 45 minutes from my house while I'm at my mom's. So I'm like, forget this. I drop the stuff. I think to myself, I'm going to go to the Party City right by my house. Because that way, I can get home, drop off the things I have in the car, go to Party City by the house, and even if it takes me an hour in Party City, I'm going to be able to get to the meeting. Because I'm closer now. So, on paper, my plans. Just like the show. On paper, genius. Real life, not so much. I'm flying home. I'm breaking every speed law. I passed somebody on the left shoulder at one point. I was doing everything I could to get home as fast as I could. I pull up in front of my house. It's now 6:20. I run in the house, drop everything off, get what I need for the meeting. Let the dogs out real quick. Or no, I called Debbie. I said, are you almost home? Yeah, all right, I'm not letting the dogs out. The dogs were not happy. Because they hear me coming in, they're like, ooh, we get to go out. I'm like, no, you don't. I grab what I need for the meeting. As I'm walking out the door, Debbie is pulling up. I said, all right, I love you. I got to go. I'm going to Party City. Da-da-da. I go to Party City. Cody, when I tell you, take Black Friday and amplify it by 12.
I was going to say, wasn't the line around the block?
It was, first of all, getting into the parking lot, and it's in a big strip mall. Getting into the parking lot, I almost killed 5 people. Not with my car, just getting out and strangling them.
Oh, wow.
I get into Party City, and it's like a refugee camp. There are people everywhere. And, you know, they've got the whole wall of costumes, but they have people that have to go back in and get you the costume. So there's a huge line of people just waiting, and parents are swearing at their kids, and kids are crying, and people are screaming. It was like, oh my God, this is like what it must have been like when they evacuated Da Nang. This is like people are waiting for the last chopper out of Vietnam. It is insanity. And of course, I was looking for the curly, like the rainbow Afro wig. Well, forget it. That's gone. Most of the clown stuff is gone. They did have the giant clown tie that I had seen at the other Party City, and they had the nose. So now I have the tie and the nose, but I still don't have a wig. And my hair is not clown hair. My hair is like, I don't know, Soldier of Fortune hair. It's not conducive to, hey, folks, I'm a clown. So I'm panicking. And I'm like, I got to think of something. Well, along the back wall of Party City, and every time you moved, you had to say, excuse me, about 87 times. Because nobody's moving. Everybody's just in shock. It's almost like, you know, if you see a scene in The Walking Dead where people are just, the dead are just kind of milling around. They have no purpose until somebody makes a loud noise, and then the horde kind of moves. So the horde would move if somebody called your name and you actually got a costume. And then the horde would just go and try to move up closer. And people, kids are waving swords and making, it just horrifying.
Did nobody tell any of these people that Halloween is always on October 31st?
Yes. Me, and listen, had I had any other choice?
Right, you had a predicament.
I was in a fix. I was in a racist pickle. I was in a racist pickle. So now I think to myself, ooh, I look in the back, and they, for some reason they have monochromatic, like, masks and in every color. They have the plain face mask and the wig and glove, every color, so you could just be like, if you just wanted to be the fuchsia guy, you could just, everything is in fuchsia. But they have them in all different colors. So I'm like, ooh, there's a bright green Afro wig. That'll work. But then I look down. They have all kind of rainbow stuff, too. So I go down, and I find, I'm looking, and I go, oh, this will work. There's like a crazy rainbow wig. It's like long hair, kind of freaky. And there was one, too, that was a mohawk. And so I'm like, you know what? One said fits children and adults. And I'm like, hmm. And the other one said fits adults. I'm like, hmm. So I got them both. I'm like, for, they were $10 each, and I'm like, well, I'll use them for something. So now I have the wigs, and I have my big tie, and I have my crazy nose, and it's time to get in line. This line was longer than the line I had seen the first time.
That's what I was thinking.
So thankfully, I only had to get in one line. But if I had to wait an hour just to get the costume, and then had to get in the other line, I would have gone crazy. So I go to the front of the store, and I see it's serpentining. And I almost offered somebody $20 to let me cut. In my mind, I went, I wonder what somebody would say if I went, hey, if I give you $20, can I get in front of you? But I decided against it. Because one, I didn't want to hassle, because that person might have let me in, but the person behind them probably would have lost their mind. And then all of a sudden, I'm on the news because a brawl broke out at the Party City in North Riverside. And, you know, the police were called, and some guy in a rainbow rig ran out without paying and just screaming, I have a meeting to get to. And it was just, would have been awful.
Have you ever paid somebody for a spot in line?
No. Hmm. And I don't know why it crossed my mind. I was desperate, because now it's about, let's see, 6:30, 6:45.
Oh,
and
I figure I gotta leave at 7.
I gotta leave. The latest I can leave to be on time is 7:15 in my mind. Now it's 6:40. I think when I actually got to the back of the line, which was all the way at the back of the store, down one of the aisles, listening to everybody I passed swearing and complaining that they were in line or on their phone going, I can't believe it. The line's all the way to the back of the store. Everybody was saying the same thing, and I'm like, yeah, you know, the parking lot looked like they were giving everything away. It literally looked like people were going, everything's free, we got to get in there. It was not. So I get to the back of the line, and now I'm looking. And I'm like, I'm not going to make it. So I called Debbie. And I'm like, listen, I got a huge favor to ask you. Can you come up? I said, take your time. I got about 25 minutes. And this is only, it's only about 3 minutes from the house. I said, take your time, but can you come up and get this stuff for me? She goes, yeah, where is it in the store? What show? And I go, no, I'm in line. I said, I don't think I'm going to make it to the front in the next half hour. So can you come? She goes, yeah, I'm coming right now. Or she goes, can I feed the dogs and go to the bathroom? I said, yes, you take your time. Just if you can be here by like 7:15, that's the latest I can leave. She's like, oh, yeah, that's fine. So now I'm waiting, and I'm listening. The guy behind me is giving somebody the play-by-play on his phone. He's complaining. Kid in front of me, thankfully the mom stopped this, but had found like a horn that somebody had discarded on the shelves, and we're just standing there beeping horn. As annoying as that last 15 seconds was, imagine it going on a lot longer, and imagine my temperament. Yeah, I was not happy. If I didn't have to wear a costume, and I didn't technically have to wear a costume, but I knew every other teacher was going to have a costume on Wednesday. And I was teaching science, so I wanted a costume.
Yeah, no, you can't be the only one not in costume.
Right. And I had the hula hoop. I was ready.
Right.
I was costumed except for my head.
Right.
Well, I did have one option. I have a really scary half-clown mask at home that looks like a psycho killer, horrifying clown. But I knew that's not the kind of thing you can wear to school, you know, especially when some of the children coming into your
Oh, that is really, really horror. That's like horror movie level.
Yeah, that's like nightmare conjuring. I put it on like once or twice a year at home just to hear Debbie scream.
Yeah, no, that walking into a school like that would be like going to a bingo night at Lincoln Park and calling it like you're just screaming about sex for, you know, 3 hours.
Completely inappropriate.
Misplaced.
Right. So I'm in line and I'm waiting, and finally the woman stops her kid with the horn, and I've settled into the fact that, okay, this is a nightmare. And I posted a picture of the long line. I've never stood in a line this long, I don't think, except when I was a kid trying to get concert tickets to go see REO back outside the Sears in Evergreen Plaza, Park Forest Plaza, rather. Doesn't. But why did I correct myself on the plaza? Like somebody was going to fact check me on that. That's the one thing I go, oh, I better get that. I better be accurate on that. So the line, I will say, is moving a little bit. So now I've gone from the very back of the store past where the middle of the store where the break in the aisles is. So like across the center aisle, and I'm heading down. And Debbie comes in, and I see her eyes are as big as saucers, and she's looking around going, oh, my God, what have I stumbled into? So she finds me in line. It was like we found each other across the battlefield. It's like, oh, you're here. And I'm like, oh. We embrace lovingly. I give her the big dip like in Times Square at VJ Day, and I show her the stuff that I've got. And so I said, what do you think of these? And I explained the wig conundrum about the sizes and stuff. And she was like, get them both. We haven't had a wig. The bear, we have this bear on the front porch, needs a new wig. So either way, we'll use it. Just get them because you can't come back. I was like, no, I definitely can't come back. So she said she would do it for me. And I leave, and about 10 minutes later, Debbie calls me and says, I'm out. I got it. Everything's fine. But it was crazy. So then I go to school the next day, and I don't walk in the costume, one, because I can't drive, because the hula hoop is around. So I have the costume in a green garbage bag, big green garbage bag, and I have my other stuff. And I also had to wait to put the costume on because it was a nightmare to go to the bathroom. It's a one-piece suit that Velcros up the back. So once I'm in, I better really have to go to the bathroom
Yeah.
And I know, because of the schedule that day, I wasn't going to have a break from 8:40 till about 11:30. So I was waiting till the last possible moment to put the costume on.
Because you drink a lot of coffee.
In the morning, before I get to school, I do. I drink a lot of coffee. And, you know, I'm old, so my bladder doesn't hold it like it used to. But to my credit, it held that day. So now I'm in, and, you know, all the grade groups, teams of teachers all had theme costumes. Like the fourth graders were the seasons. There's four teachers. They were the seasons. The fifth grade teachers were all unicorns. First grade teachers were vowels. So that kind of thing. The kindergarten teachers were M&Ms. It was a lot of fun. Third graders were seven dwarfs.
Ooh.
It was very nice. And second grade teachers were the Peanuts gang. And then there's me, the science teacher, and I was this clown. And got rave reviews. The staff just thought, you know, they're like, Mr., did you just have that laying around, Noonan? And I was like, well, kind of, and to tell the story. And so a lot of the kids were like, oh, they loved it. Some kids are afraid of clowns. Now, some kids told me I should have been creepier. Some kids were just terrified of it.
What grade were you teaching?
All different grades, because it was science. So the kids came in. I had everything from kindergarten to fifth grade.
Okay.
And so a few of the kindergarten kids were afraid. Now, the day before, I had been in that school, and I've been in that school pretty much solid for 3 years. Right? This is the one I had all the long-term positions at last year. So on Tuesday, I was in a fourth grade class for about 2 hours in the morning. The fourth grade comes into science, and I wish I was kidding when I tell you that three kids asked me if I was wearing a wig. And I said to them, I was in your class yesterday morning. Do you remember? Yes. You've known me since you were in first grade. Yes. Do you think that I, one, grew my hair out overnight and then dyed it all these colors? Oh, I guess it's a wig. I said, yeah. Or to go, yeah, you imbecile. Of course it's a wig.
Well, it was very convincing.
I looked nice. Yeah, I'm sure you saw the picture.
I think I saw part of one or
it
something.
It was fun. But then I wear big shoes. You know that.
Yeah.
I wear size 14 or 15, depending on the shoe. They're gigantic. Well, I've worn the same size shoe since I was, you know, in high school. Well, I was wearing my green Converse with the costume. So I guess because they're green and they're the white rubber on the All-Star, they look bigger. I have never had more kids go, are those clown shoes? Are those your real shoes? Your feet are so big. I was like, yeah, they're my real shoes. They're not costume shoes. Oh, really? And kids would come up and stand next to me, put their feet next to mine. Oh, man, your feet are gigantic. I'm like, yes, yes. You know what that means, don't you? Big feet? And they go, oh, what? I go, big shoes. It was unbelievable. The whole day was crazy. One of the kindergarten classes grilled me with about 118 questions. Why are you wearing a clown suit? Why are you wearing suspenders? Why do you have green shoes on? Why does your hair look like that? Why is your nose red? That nose is real big. Is it real? Why are you... You're all wearing costumes. Literally, every kid was wearing a costume. But they were so put out that I was wearing a costume. The other teachers, they didn't ask any questions. But me, I guess maybe I don't come across as that fun at school. I'm nice, but maybe they don't see me as, you know, the guy who'd come to school to teach science in a clown suit.
I mean, you remember having substitute teachers as a kid.
Yeah, but the thing is, I've been in this school so long, there's not a kid in that school that I haven't had a number of times.
Yeah, I mean, and I had some repeat substitute teachers in school, and you kind of get to know some of them when they come back, but they're you develop very different relationships with people who aren't always there.
Right. Oh, yeah, definitely. But like the second graders and the third graders, well, I was in with them for entire semesters last year. So I was their for the now second graders, one of those classes, I was their teacher from September to December. So I was in with them all year.
That's true.
And then the third graders, who were last year's second graders, I was with them from spring break to the end of the year last year.
Yeah, yes.
So it's not, and some of those were the ones who were like, your feet are so big. I'm like, they're the same size they were when I was with you for 8 weeks.
Yeah.
It was fun. We had a lot of trick-or-treaters last night, too, which was fun.
What'd you give out?
I might have to up my game again. We went back to the, since we moved, we've gone to the fun-size bars, but like a few, not just one fun-size bar.
Oh, yeah, you got to give them a little handful.
Yeah. So we've been doing that. Because back in the day, we used to give full-size. But that was back, you know, we were spending a fortune, but it was where we were living. You almost had to, you know, you almost had to. It was like the nuclear arms race. You got to keep up. Here, there's no real nuclear arms race. Nobody's giving out full-size bars. I did see one house must have been giving out Affy Tapples. The taffy apples, the individual caramel apples.
Yeah.
I was like, ooh, what house is that? Because Daddy needs an Affy Tapple.
That's pretty fancy.
That was fancy. So that's why I thought, well, maybe next year. But this year we had more. Like in the last couple of years, the weather's been kind of eh. So we didn't have a lot of trick-or-treaters. And I ended up taking back a bunch of candy because I buy the huge bags at Costco or Sam's. Well, there you can take them back.
Nice.
So I would buy a ton. And then if I was out, I had to go. So this year I only bought three of the giant bags. Like 155 pieces a bag. So I'm like, oh, that should be plenty based on the last couple years. Well, trick-or-treating in our neighborhood goes from 4 to 7. But that, you know, soft 7. We figure we'd give it till about 8. So we were getting a lot of trick-or-treaters. And let me ask your opinion on this. I don't mind about teenagers trick-or-treating. I don't even mind, you know, if a couple of them don't have costumes, because I know they were the people who were going to be too cool to go trick-or-treating till the rest of their friends all showed up, and then they're like, oh, man, I don't want to miss out on trick-or-treating. Here's where I get a little curious. Curious meaning infuriated. If you're taking your kid trick-or-treating and they're very small and you're wearing a costume, of course you're going to come up with your kid, but usually the kid is the one with the bucket or the bag. I had a number of people come up. Their children came up, and their children had a bucket. And then the adults, it would be like if I wore my clown costume and went trick-or-treating with my child, but carried my own bag so I could get my own bag of candy. Adults were expecting candy in their own bag. Not a bag for their infant, not a bag for their child, their own bag. If you are 40... and you're still begging for candy, you really, in a costume from a stranger in the guise of escorting your child, you need to reevaluate your life choice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, listen, your kid's 3. You're eating his candy when you get home anyway.
Right.
I've been there. I know how this parent at Halloween works. It's a scam. The kid does all the work. You reap all the benefits because they go to bed early and they haven't tallied all their stuff. They don't know. They may have pulled a couple of the bit. You don't eat the full size because they remember the full size. You could eat all of this other stuff. They don't know.
Not to mention you probably bought candy to hand out yourself.
Right, so there's candy at home. You don't. So that's, again, I'm good with the kids and all that stuff. But
the last time I went trick-or-treating was with my dad, and I was, I don't know, second grade. When do kids stop, usually?
High school?
Yeah. No, I must have stopped fifth or sixth grade. It doesn't matter.
Really?
But I was, yeah, I dressed as, actually, I think the last time I went trick-or-treating, I was Captain Kirk.
Really?
Actually, it was Admiral Kirk.
Oh.
Because we went down to Universal Studios in Orlando, Florida,
yeah.
And they had just finished doing some gimmicky little green screen thing where you could get your photo taken in front of a green screen.
Fancy.
And they would put behind you so it looked like you were on the teleporter from Star Trek.
Oh, cool.
But here's the really cool part.
Mm-hmm.
They had costumes, and so they had just finished this. So they were selling the costumes, but you couldn't buy these costumes anywhere else. And they weren't costumes from the TV show. They were the red costumes from the movies.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So I got a red Admiral Kirk costume from Universal Studios.
Wow.
And they only had like 20 or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That was...
You were the man.
Dude, you can't even get those. I don't think... I mean, you probably can now because you can get everything,
yeah,
right? But like...
Back then, forget
it. At that time, are you kidding me? I'm like... And they look good, too.
Oh, I said to one of the teachers yesterday... I would have killed as a kid to have a Spider-Man or a Captain America costume. Because I loved those comics as a kid. Back when I was a kid, they didn't have those costumes. Maybe you would get the really cheap plastic mask, but no real good costume. There's nothing.
I can 1,000% relate to you because it was the same when I was a kid with video game characters.
Yeah.
You couldn't be Mario or Link or Master Chief.
Yeah, we saw some Marios. There were some Halo guys. There were a couple of... Who's the yellow Pokemon dress? I think it may be...
Pikachu.
No, not Pikachu.
Bowser.
Bowser. There were some Bowsers.
Yeah. No. Oh, yeah. No, I see like whole groups of people. The Young Bucks is a really popular wrestling group with Cody Rhodes and some people. They're independent wrestlers that aren't in the WWE.
Yeah.
They're in like New Japan and Ring of Honor and stuff. And the Young Bucks dressed as the Mario cast.
Oh,
they were Mario,
funny.
Luigi, Princess, Bowser, Yoshi. There might have been a Donkey Kong. But yeah, that's the kind of, you never would have seen that. 20 years ago.
No. So I was very happy about that. I had one kid come to the house, and I felt really bad for him. He lives kind of kitty corner from us, and I see him every once in a while. I don't know him. I don't talk to, you know, kids just because it's probably best.
Also, creepy.
Creepy,
that,
right.
Yeah.
So, but he came to the door, and he was all by himself. Like, no friends, no family, nothing. And he's maybe 12, 13, so he's old enough to be out by himself. But it seemed on Halloween it was weird. And I said, I like your costume. He goes, oh, I'm a warrior. And I don't know what game he was from. He had the shield. And I was like, oh, well, I hope you don't, have to battle any dragons and just you're able to just get a bunch of candy. He goes, oh, I got my sword. You like how I did? And he'd, like, put it in his thing. Oh, it looks great. And I felt like this kid wanted to talk and wanted a friend, but nobody was with him. And I was like, oh, man. And I was like, well, have a great night. Enjoy yourself. Oh, I will. Okay, thank you. And he off on his way. And I was like, oh, I feel bad for this kid.
Hope he gave him some extra candy.
I threw him a couple extra pieces. But, you know.
I never went trick-or-treating with friends.
Really?
Just my dad, yeah. My dad, my
did you
parents,
have friends?
My sister. I don't know. Yeah, I had some friends.
Well, when Molly was little, of course, it was just us taking her trick-or-treating. But then when she got, I don't know, it was probably 7th or 8th grade, she went with her friends.
Well, middle school, if you're still... I'd stop. See, I mean, I'm freakishly tall,
I didn't. I still went in high school.
Really?
Yeah, not, you know. You'd go out later, and she went and... she would go... like, she and her friends... they were going to be too cool to go trick-or-treating in high school. But they'd all have costumes because they usually were coming over to our house for something. And then they'd, okay. So they'd go, well, we'll just go around the block. Okay. So they were, I didn't care. Once she was, maybe that was freshman and sophomore year. I don't think junior and senior year she went. She might have. But, then it was just, the roving gangs of teens. I was on alert, though. There was almost an issue.
Uh-oh.
So, Debbie came home, and I had to run to the grocery store. So, I run to Jewel, and I come back.
On Halloween night.
On Halloween night, which was a good time to go because everybody's out trick-or-treating. So, nobody's in Jewel. This is the only time you run into Jewel. There was nobody at the deli counter. Got my stuff. Got all my things. Come back. Little did I know I would have to go back because as we were talking about the candy, Debbie thought we were going to run out of candy. So, she sends 5 to 7. Trick-or-treating is supposed to end at 7. We still had half a bag, maybe, left. And we were both like, boy, there's a lot of trick-or-treaters. You know they're going to keep coming till about 8 o'clock. I said, yeah, we should have... we need more. Are you sure? Yes, just go because we could take it back. All right, because there's a Costco. Like, between me and the Jewel, there's also a Costco.
It's close.
So I run to Costco. Literally. I'm wearing my Sugar Skull pants and a skeleton t-shirt. I've changed out of the clown outfit. I was like Cher on Halloween. I had a lot of costume changes because I can't pass out the candy in the big billowy Halloween costume.
Nah, it's cumbersome.
It's very cumbersome. And the dogs, my dog, because I coming home from school, I left the wig on. My dog lost his mind when I was coming up the stairs. And this dog doesn't get up. I could set the couch on fire and he'd still lay there going, man, it's getting hot in here. He lost his mind. So I couldn't have the wig on all day. I know we got to get going because my parking's going to expire soon.
At least we're still recording.
Yeah. Yes, we are still recording.
That would have been rough.
So I run into Costco, and as I'm showing the woman my card, I go, do you still have any of the big bags of Halloween candy? No. This is what we have. And she points over like a case of full-size bars. And I'm like, nah, I can't do that. So I run back out. Now I call Debbie. I go, Costco doesn't have any candy. Go to Jewel. They had them on sale. So I swing around. I go into Jewel. Well, now, it's 7 o'clock, 10 after 7 on Halloween night. As you can imagine, the candy aisle pretty picked over, too. So I grab a couple things, marked down a little, not marked down enough.
Diet Dr. Peppers?
Yeah, just cans of Diet Dr. Pepper, the little cans.
John Martin, my co-host on Game Life Balance, ran out of candy a few years ago, and they handed out Diet Dr. Peppers. He told this story on an old episode.
It's better than condiment packets.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
Diet Dr. Pepper.
I got mustard. I got some mustard. Hey, I got sriracha sauce. Kid came to the door dressed as a bottle of sriracha sauce. It looked pretty good. So I buy some gear, I race home. Of course, as I'm driving to the store and coming back, I'm seeing no more trick-or-treaters. None. Suffice it to say, Debbie tried to return while Costco and Sam's will gladly accept candy back unopened. Jewel will not. Jewel was like, oh, no, because those Reese's are in the shape of ghosts and pumpkins, so that's seasonal and we don't take those back. Look, we bought them less than 24 hours ago. No, sorry. So Debbie was so infuriated, she gave them to a homeless woman on her way home from work, and the woman could not have been happier. She was like, my son is going to be so happy. My son's going to be so happy. So Debbie's like, we're writing it off as a donation. Perfect. So I come home from Jewel the first trip, and there's a big gang of teenagers, like two houses down. And I'm getting out of the car, and I hear a lot of screaming. And this big, picture me, only heavier, in high school. This is what the ringleader of this gang is looking like. And he's on the porch yelling at my neighbor, I don't need a bag, you F and F. And she's like, no bag, no candy. She's yelling at him, he's yelling at her, and I'm like, oh, boy. So now they're coming. They're coming toward my house. Again, like the horde from The Walking Dead. And I'm watching this kid. So now I'm out of the car, and I'm just standing next to the car. I'm going to wait, see what happens. And as he's coming down the street, now he's getting, like, between my house and my next-door neighbor's house. And Gidget, one dog's in the back, and she's barking. She's barking all night. And he starts screaming loud from the sidewalk, trick or treat! Trick or treat! And I'm waiting. Now I've moved from the driver's door, and now I'm at the back of the car. And they probably see me. I'm not hiding, but it's dark, and I'm wearing a skeleton shirt and a black Sox hat. So I'm just waiting. And they come to my house, and now Debbie's up there, and I'm like, because he's loud. He's mouthing off the whole way to all his crew, you know, just saying all this kind of stuff. Like he's the big dog on the walk.
Are any of them in costume?
Most of them are in costume. Mm. And he's wearing like almost like your cloak kind of thing, like a hooded kind of cloak. Maybe just a cape, a Dracula cape maybe, nothing elaborate. But he doesn't have a bag. Because again, he was the guy who wasn't going to go trick-or-treating, but his friends were all going trick-or-treating and he's not going to miss out. So I hear he gets to my door and now I've moved up to the parkway. And I'm waiting because I'm like, if he starts anything with Debbie, I'm dropping the grocery bags and we're going to, you know, this kid's getting off my property fast. And I hear Debbie say, oh, no bag. He goes, no, I don't need a bag, but thank you anyway. Because Debbie was she's smart. She just gave him the candy. Who cares? It's better to give him the. So he's like, well, thank you anyway. And once I heard that, I was like, okay. And I'm just standing. I didn't say anything. And they're coming down and they're looking at me. But I'm just waiting. And we have stuff. I have stuff all over the grass. And some of them start to cut through the grass. And I'm like, if they kick over my decorations, we're going to have a problem. You know, so they just go. But I hear them now mouthing the whole way down the street. This kid is just so loud. And I'm thinking, this is why people get upset when teenagers go trick-or-treating. Because you're acting like a jerk. Just go and have fun. It's a fun night. I don't care. You're not out drinking and causing trouble. I don't care if you come to my house and I give you a few pieces of candy. Who cares? I already bought the candy. You're not costing me anything. But don't be a jerk about it.
Yeah.
Just go out and have fun. And you could tell some of the kids were embarrassed, you know, because there were a couple groups. There was always one or two in these big, giant, like 10, 12-person groups of high school kids who were acting like jerks. And you could tell the other ones were like, sorry, you know. But it was fun. There were a couple freaky costumes. There's some cute little kid costumes. I commended a Michael Myers because he was with the kid who was dressed as a bottle of sriracha, and another kid was dressed as a carrot, and there was somebody else, and then there was this Michael Myers, and he had the old school mask and the jumpsuit. It was a good costume, store bought a good costume. And so all the other guys were like, trick or treat, thank you. And he just held out his bag. And I was like, oh, I get it. And they dropped him in, and then he went, okay. Like, he didn't want to break character, but he was still polite. And I'm like, dude, I love your commitment to character. That was fantastic. And I had a couple little kids who came up dressed as Batman, and they go, trick or treat. I was like, I love it. You get an extra piece of candy.
Yeah.
That's the kind of commitment you get. So, well, I'm glad you had a good Halloween.
I'm glad you had a good Halloween.
Halloween was fun.
You didn't run out of candy?
No, we didn't run out. I love it. I miss trick-or-treating with Molly, And I love passing out candy.
I love Halloween.
I do too. And Debbie this year was like, we really, because we had been in England, we don't have to decorate, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, well, I'll just do a little. But you have to, I had to do the yard. You can't have trick-or-treaters come to the house and not have my, you know, my inflatable Frankenstein and my mummy tied to a post in the middle of the yard and my floating ghoul highlighted with a green spotlight. I got to have it all. My light, my eyeball, glow-in-the-dark big eyes in the window so it looks like a monster house. I got to do it. Inside, I didn't do much. But outside, I got an image. Got my zombie flamingos that have to be put out.
Oh, yeah.
All that stuff.
Gotta have the zombie flamingos.
They were my favorite Halloween purchase ever. You know, I have pink flamingos for the summer, the plastic pink flamingos. These are plastic flamingos, but they look like skeletons. Hilarious.
That's pretty great.
Hilarious. So that was that. So Halloween is over.
What's the best costume you saw?
Oh, man. I'm trying to remember.
I'm trying to think from replay. I didn't really see any great costumes.
No, I'm thinking even at school, it was, you know, there were a few of the inflatable dinosaurs at school. Those are hilarious. Debbie said she was driving to work yesterday morning. She's on Lake Street. And at 7:30 in the morning, she saw an adult in one of these inflatable dinosaur costumes running down Lake Street carrying a pink pumpkin. She said it was the funniest thing she'd ever seen, but she couldn't get to her phone to get a picture.
Nice.
She said he's just running down the street in this inflatable dinosaur costume holding a pink pumpkin.
The best costumes I might have saw might have been at the party I went to last Saturday. There were two people dressed as Gilligan and the Skipper.
Well, that's a good one.
And I immediately knew because he had the bucket hat. I'm like, Gilligan. He's like, oh, yeah, finally somebody recognized my costume. I'm like, finally?
Yeah, how do you not know that one?
Gilligan. But there was a really funny girl wearing some kind of a cloakish thing and like a fake beard or something. And she was Gandalf the Basic. And she had a wooden staff. And at the end, there was an orb that glowed, yeah. But it wasn't an orb. It was a Starbucks cup.
Oh, that's hilarious.
She was walking around.
Gandalf the Basic.
Walking around this, like, glowing Starbucks cup staff and, like, drinking a Frappuccino with Gandalf written on the
like
side.
That was pretty funny. That's funny.
But, yeah, no, like, really, really original, really fun one. There weren't many topical ones, either.
No,
you know, usually.
I wish some of those teenagers had gone as the what are they called? The big group that's coming up from.
The migrant caravan.
The migrant caravan.
Oh,
the caravan.
My gosh.
Yeah, if you had gone as a caravan and then had one like terrorist in the middle just pop out, ha ha! Trick or treat.
Well, see, we had like God, close to 10 years ago, I had a Halloween party, and my friend Matt showed up as a binder full of women. From that political candidate that made the comments about binders full of women, and he literally just looked like a giant notebook, and he'd open pages, and there's photos of women inside. So, yeah, you usually get something kind of...
I think when you go to adult parties, you see that more.
Maybe, but, I mean, even 2016 election, I'm sure a lot of people were, you know, Bernie or whoever.
Last year there was a scary Trump down my block decoration with the glowing red eyes, and there was no... I think the joke wore off. They were like, ooh, we can't put this on. This isn't funny anymore.
Doesn't age well, yeah.
Isn't that funny? There were a lot of store-bought superheroes, a lot of superheroes and video game guys.
At one of the Halloween stores we went to, there was a whole video game section.
Yeah.
Overwatch, Fortnite, and then they had a lot of Rick and Morty, like super topical.
Yeah.
Very like, these are the games that are popular right now. And again, when I was little... No way.
Would have killed for this.
I would have killed to be like Star Fox or Link from Legend of Zelda, or like Samus Aran, who's a woman, but I would have done it because she looks like a giant robot.
Rokan was the Hulk yesterday.
Oh, man.
I would, again, any of those superheroes, if I could have, because one year, this is how bad it was. I wanted to be Spider-Man so bad one year, and I was maybe fourth grade, something like that. Well, they didn't have Spider-Man costumes. They had the oval plastic mask, so I got that, and then my mom took a sheet and kind of drew a spider web with the spider, so like a poncho. I was wearing like a white bedsheet poncho with a spider web on it and the red Spider-Man mask. But I was Spider-Man.
Hey.
It worked. Everybody knew who I was. I was Spider-Man.
Got to get creative sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes you got to do it. Back if there's no other option, and there weren't even patterns to make them, that was, who's going to dress? You were clowns or a hobo or a witch, you know, or a cop, fireman. You know, the basic stuff. Now, you know, who knows? So it was fun.
Mostly cats.
I used to miss the cats.
But they're not sexy cats. Like,
it's just cats.
Well, they are. You're out at a bar in Lincoln Park. All the girls are hot anyway.
Right.
They just happen to have cat ears. Yeah. Does that make them more attractive? Somehow, yes.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
I don't either.
You know?
I don't either. And, you know, there used to be a whole genre, and I'm sure there still are. We just don't go to those parties of really risque costumes.
Yeah. No, not a lot of that this year.
Well, that's good. Good for everybody. I'm glad everybody had fun.
Yes. Happy belated Halloween. Yes. Now we're into turkey season and voting season.
Yes. Time to get... The fall has come. It's, a couple weeks till Thanksgiving. Then it's Christmas. I can't even think about it yet.
You're going to have a pumpkin spice latte?
I don't drink any of that stuff.
That's good.
I have one package of a pumpkin spice coffee that we ordered that we're going to try. But I'm not a fan of that kind of stuff. I'll brew a cup at home. I'm not going to go spend $6 on a pumpkin spice latte.
I got a pumpkin spice latte, but it was from Pete's Coffee and Tea.
Yes, sure.
They're not as sweet as Starbucks.
Okay.
I mean, Starbucks, any
everything
kind of
is sweet.
Any latte at Starbucks just tastes like diabetes to me.
Yeah, Gandalf the Basic, of
just
course.
Just going to destroy your entire system. give me a stomach ache. Nah, Pete's is just a lot more subtle and actually tastes kind of like coffee.
Okay.
With a little pumpkin.
Well, that's what I'm hoping this is. We've, because we're, you know, bourgeois, we order our coffee from this place in New Orleans, Community Coffee.
Oh.
They're a company down there. And it costs about the same as when I would buy the coffee at Sam's, you know, because they always have sales and free delivery and stuff. So we just get the coffee shipped to us because, again, you know, we're fancy that way.
Sure.
And this last shipment, we got a bag of this other kind of flavor, this pumpkin one. So I think that's next up on the hit parade when we finish the Cafe Diablo that we're drinking now, the Mexican style coffee with cinnamon.
Cafe Diablo?
Diablo.
Oh.
Diallo.
Diallo. Oh. Oh wait.
Jello.
Are we not allowed to talk about Jello now? Is that?
No, we can talk about Jello.
Okay.
You know, because. It's the only thing that Cosby's going to be able to eat.
Hi-yo!
Good morning.
Wow,
good
morning. This is
a
4-hour podcast. Oh, my God.
Almost 2 hours.
Not that I haven't enjoyed talking.
I have enjoyed it, too.
It's over 2 hours, isn't it?
It's over 2 hours, but I don't remember when we started.
Oh, right, because we just hit record.
Yeah, because there's a lot of stuff. Before the actual bad made-up theme song, there's a lot of stuff you have to cut.
Oh, I know.
Because if any of that makes it to anywhere outside this room, we're going to be in trouble.
Yeah, we're good. Don't worry about it.
I'm not worried. All right, so... Here's the deal. We think we're going to be live on the air next Sunday, the 11th?
11th.
Maybe we won't, but we will be recording a new podcast next week as well. This podcast, if you're listening to it, it doesn't matter when it's going to drop because you're already listening to it. So thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting the show. Tell people about it. As Cody said, like, share, and comment.
But I feel. Said?
Well, you usually do, isn't that? But I don't want to do that.
Whatever.
Like, just subscribe.
Tell people about
it. Yeah, tell people about it.
That's what matters.
Yeah, send letters. Write your congressman. I don't know why. You know, tell hey, we voted because we heard it on this podcast.
Hi-yo.
Good about it. Okay, so that's it. Are we done? Do we have anything else to cover? We've covered it all.
Nope. Tune into our show and tune into Game Life Balance US on WGNRadio.com when I post it in the next couple weeks.
All right. Thank you, as always, for supporting the show. We'll talk to you soon. Have a lovely week. Goodbye.